brought to you exclusively by Abu Garcia.
He's like, why don't I get used as a curse word?
This is what I miss, the unstructured start of a show where Becky tells everyone to be quiet and we're talking right over the intro, which I love. Folks at home, how you doing tonight? Hope you're having a wonderful evening. I know we are. It is Sunday and the crew's back together. Man, dude, this is like old school shit going on. Let me intro the room for you real quick as people are tuning in. Sitting to my right, you know him, the one and only Dean of the Bash University, a.k.a. Pete Glusick.
That's a good a.k.a.
Dude, you've got a lot of nicknames. You've acquired a lot of nicknames over the years.
Did you say nicknames?
Nicknames.
Yep.
Have you?
I guess so, but there's no doubt that the fame is all about falling in the water.
Dude, I mean, anywhere you go. Dude.
It's like
everywhere. So I
all I cast long about once an hour.
I know
somebody replays it for me.
So I'll give you the best example, and then I want to keep intro in the room real quick. But so we've made connection with this company, and they got this great product, and legitimately they're from China. And so you know, the one guy knows fishing, but the other couple people straight from China really don't know fishing. And we showed up for a meeting at ICAST with them, and your name came up, and the one guy from China was like, the guy that fall in.
No.
Yeah. Yes! Come on. I'm not kidding you.
It made it to China?
Or he saw it somehow. He had enough.
It went to China.
Probably.
Pete, you're huge in China.
So you're big
Pete,
in China,
you're giant. Maybe. You're the guy that far out of the boat.
Yeah. Yeah, you're far out of the boat. Right. You did far out of the boat.
Godzilla.
Sitting to my left. And this is a very Dave and I were doing this hypothesis on how this would affect the introduction. And I don't know. Well, how do I do this, Dave? So sitting to my left, the one and only Brian the Carpenter, but he's in a weird spot, dude.
It's the first time in 10 years of doing this that I've got to sit here. I mean, I was allowed to sit here for like 10, 20 minutes at a time, but I'm staying here the whole show.
Feels nice, doesn't
Unless
it?
Unless Vegas comes up, then I get bumped.
Well, here's the nice thing about
we're
it.
Becky.
This was actually when Becky was setting everything up here a couple hours ago. We're like, man, is Brian, we actually said this. Is Brian going to be mad that he's not? I'm like, no, he's not going to be mad. I'm like, dude.
Hell no.
Especially now with your new podcast. You're working your ass off there. I thought this would be nice to just, you could just sit and whatever.
Like you guys did for 10 years. Just show up and goof off.
Make fun of you.
Not read the notes.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what I plan on doing.
Huffy and van jokes, you know, just sit here. That's that.
And like Pete, I got all my nicknames from, you know, all my mistakes.
Yeah. All your mistakes. But the biggest nickname you've acquired, and I do want to tell this story. I think it's been told on the show before, but when we gave Brian the Carpenter his name, you did not like it in the beginning. And you did not like it.
Me? No.
Yeah, you didn't like it. You thought it was terrible.
Yeah.
The Carpenter.
Yeah. But Jesus was a carpenter.
That's right.
You're a carpenter. It's a good name.
He came to me in a dream and said, it's going to be all right.
Well, so do you have regrets about accepting that name 10 years ago?
No.
Because you're known. I mean, people know you. They don't even maybe necessarily know your actual name's Brian. Even though
they don't
Brian
know my last name. And
they don't know your last name.
And that's good.
That is good.
Yeah.
That is good.
Yeah.
Sitting to Brian's left in his normal spot. Dave, I like you in that spot. It's a good spot for you.
It's not my handsome side, though.
Nah.
Like if I was on Pete's side, I think I would look better.
Yeah, but Pete's couch sinks in a little bit.
Well, no, it's you like my to. Like everyone has a good side. Like the side I got to show here, I feel like I'm in like an extra gravy commercial, like a fucking old country buffet or something. Like I'm waiting for like mashed potatoes, like all the mashed potatoes there. I'm like, hey, I'm on the side. I was on that side.
Sitting in his normal chair, Dave Brodzik, a.k.a. Stormtrooper, a.k.a. Worf, back in the studio.
Hello, everyone.
Yes. And then, of course, we've got our producers tonight. We've got a very special guest sitting to the right of Becky and joining us as the assistant producer
and Uber driver.
And Uber driver.
Airport shuttle.
And airport shuttle. And
all around great guy.
All around great guy. And
Miller Lite Pro Staff.
Miller Lite Pro Staff. And answering sponsor some of the
needed. Sponsor needed.
Yeah. And answering some of the IM stuff. We've got Chef joining us tonight as executive producer.
The only one that got an applause tonight, Chef.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, because because this, we threw him into this role.
He's like Johnny Appleseed, you know. Remember Johnny go around sprinkling the apple seeds?
Yeah.
He's just goes around handing out Miller Lights to everybody.
I love it.
He always dries the bottle off with a rag and
nice clean, shiny bottle. Always dry. And last but 100% Pete, not least, producing the show tonight, we have Miss Rebecca.
Hi.
How you doing tonight, Beck?
I'm good.
Okay, for, who are you wearing tonight? What do you got on? Who's the designer?
Yeah, step back. Can we get a full shot?
I know. Business on the
no
top.
No side boob.
John's on the bottom. No, I got some fabulous turquoise when we were in Colorado.
And that's on your neck?
From like an Indian reservation, graveyard, something?
Yeah. Okay. Something like that.
But here's my question.
Pilfered from the bones of Pocahontas.
That would be awesome.
Why would turquoise be from the bones of Pocahontas?
I don't know. They shine them up.
I mean, culturally.
Shine them up, bro.
Fancy ass bones.
They shine them up.
My question is, turquoise, I always assume was blue.
What?
And your necklace is green. How is that possible?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, because I guess it can go in all different gradations of blue, green to green. I have
is
lime
that what it is?
I have like natural mm-hmm. lime green. Yeah, there's all different kinds.
I just assume turquoise is blue. Like,
well, yeah, color. like a turquoise color.
Yeah.
Yeah. The actual stone can have very, well, it's.
So it's emerald.
Like, go yeah. look that up. Some sort of chemical reaction.
All right.
Okay.
That's crazy.
There you have it, guys. Before we start the show, as we usually do, I want to give a shout out to our armed forces, men and women, serving veterans. Thank you for what you do. It is 100% a crazy world. Look at Dave's shirt. This is a crazy world we live in. So thank you, guys. Also, policemen, firemen, Pete, EMTs, all those guys that do all that stuff. Thank you guys very much. We appreciate it.
Toll bridge workers.
Yes, toll bridge workers that charge $15 to get through. That's crazy. That's insane.
That was crazy.
Here's the great thing, Pete. Tonight, normally you see Brian, one of the 10 years of notes, and did such a good job over the years of preparing notes and having topics and guests. Look at this, Dave. No notes.
Freeform.
We're freestyling tonight, and this is a true catch-up show, a true reunion show to just, you know, get back together. And the other thing is, Dave, I've switched formats of the show, and I do a lot of these one-on-one podcasts.
Yeah, I've looked at them.
People like them. People like them. You know, people appreciate
them. People seem to really like them.
But every show, like not one, not five, but like every one I've done, we have those comments that come up either during the show or at the end, and it's it. God, we missed the crew. God, we missed the old show. So
yeah.
That means something. I mean, that's saying something to, you know, listen, there's some, and Brian, Bass After Dark, I'm not including that in this. There's some god-awful podcast. There's some god-awful fishing-related podcast.
Yeah, most of them.
Out right now. And when I look back on it, Pete, we gave a lot. We gave really good quality work in those 10 years. I might be biased, but I think we did.
I think we did a lot. I mean, is it 10? It's 10 full 10 years, right?
Yeah, now it's 10. Last year we said it was 10. It was actually like 9 3/4.
Eight.
It's actually, right. It's actually 7. It's actually 10 this year.
Yeah.
10 years.
I mean, it was pretty monumental stuff. People still talk about it. I get comments all the time about that. You know, oh man, we miss seeing you guys.
What year did Randy Howe win the Classic? 13.
We got to Google this. That sounds about
Is that
right.
the first show?
That was the first show.
Yeah.
Second
it,
show.
It was one of the first shows.
The second show.
And Dave, do you remember, like, you know how when you do the podcast, like, it took us a year. Be
you guys didn't let me on the first, like, four or five
Well, you
shows.
Weren't on the first? So,
nah. Yeah.
So
he wasn't in the plans in the beginning.
So we.
Then you realize no one laughed at any of your stuff. And
right. Well, we're not funny at all. I knew that from the beginning.
That's a fact.
I knew that from the beginning. But we, Dave, Randy gets on. And I love Randy. Shout out to Randy Howe. Shout out to Robin Howe, the Thurstons.
Especially Robin.
Yeah.
Mostly Robin.
Yeah, mostly Robin. Dude, Randy got on and literally controlled the flow of the podcast. And he
control,
talks a lot anyway.
Flow. Yeah.
Dude,
it was the Randy Howe monologue for
you. Couldn't
you
even
know.
You know how like
we didn't know
right,
how to do it.
Yeah, like right now we're looking at each other, so we're judging off clues with our facial expressions and shit. And
it was a phone call,
dude. It was a phone. Was
yeah,
it a phone call?
It was a phone call.
Dude, we just, it was like an hour of just like step back. Like
no one knew what to do.
No yeah. one knew what
and
to do.
I remember
do.
On the first one, like right before it started, you took a breath like a kid from West Virginia at a spelling bee competition, dude. Like you were just like, welcome to the game.
I remember that.
M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's But it was fun because we got to, you know, learn a lot. We got to create a format that I think people enjoyed, you know? Dude, good, right?
Woo.
Good. Real quick, right? This is perfect timing. Real quick, we're beer of the night, guys, if you're watching. Beck, can you zoom in? You know how to zoom in?
Nope.
You can't zoom in.
I can't do that with this.
You can't do that one. Okay, anyway.
The word. Old production stuff, I have all these gorgeous cameras.
Can't do it now. Okay. We are drinking. A lot of us, we got Miller Lights going around, but also...
Chef,
grab one. And we'll let Becky get a little close up of that. But got a nice little beer here.
Yeah.
Working with a local brewery, Neck of the Woods Brewing. And
brewery.
And it's a nice little what Dave, describe this one for you, because you're a beer head. Describe this. How would you describe it?
It's a hoppy, light, drinkable pale ale.
Drinkable.
I would call it's stuff. More of a pale ale. IPA. Do they have it listed as an IPA? See, for me, it's more of like it's more in the pale ale range.
Yeah,
but it's hoppy.
You can drink them.
It's hoppy.
Not like you can drink one.
It's delicious.
Your toast. So
they did a great job.
Definitely, if you're in the tri-state area, keep your eye out for it. Stay in the Boat, Ike, Neck of the Woods Brewing. Part of the proceeds from every beer you buy goes to the Ike Foundation. That's so cool, dude. That's so awesome. Cool. You know what an awesome.
When's the next one coming out?
I don't know. I honestly had this thought. With the success of this one, and I had this thought where I really want to start networking with some other beer companies. You know, of course, we got Chuck Garrity, you know, friends, owner of Death of Fox, and just start maybe freestyling around and see if we can do limited releases with a lot of different beer companies. You know, dude, why not get into whiskey? Why not get into hard liquor, vodka, Pete, Captain Morgan's? We can do a stay in the boat, Captain.
Stay in the boat, wrong.
Stay in the boat.
F-U dog.
Ass up.
No! F-U dog Al. Beck, write that one down.
What about an ass up IPA?
Ass up IPA is a good one. I like that one. So, honest question. This is for Dave or Brian, because this is about Pete, so I can't ask
Pete. You're not here right now.
10 years of Ike Live. Beck, you can answer this.
What did you hate most about Pete?
No.
Oh.
Is that the question? 10 years of our
we could go around the room. What do we hate most about each other?
Why did I list him as the co-host?
No.
Sorry.
No, they're all interrupting me. I'm trying to say something.
Being harsh.
Sorry.
They're being harsh.
They're getting ready to pounce.
10 years.
Warming up.
10 years of Ike Live. And look what's over there. Pete, hold your coffee up real quick. Pete's got his coffee. How many handles of Captain Morgan's have we cut through in 10 years with Pete as the co-host? Come on, Dave, give me a number.
I like how he nicely said we. It was royal, because there's no we in Pete's consumption.
I said we, because I feel like over the years.
Come on, we're a team, Becky.
How many shows we do?
130? You know,
one for all for 19? One. Come on.
Yeah, so probably, what do we average? 12 shows a year, 15 shows a year, right? Let's say 15.
Yeah, early on we just did one a
60.
Month. So we had 12.
60.
12 a year.
So 120 shows.
Yeah, 50, 60 handles.
50 no or 60 way. Handles of Captain Morgan's. Yep. And that's the big bottle. That's the – what's the liter on a handle? It's Jeff, do you know?
60 a year, Pete.
60 a year.
What's the liter?
That's a lot.
250?
Which it's more than that, but, you know. Yeah.
Come on. You guys, you're consumed cases of IPA that were consumed by this show.
I'm not ashamed of that.
But we overtly drink our stuff, dude. We're not the history teacher taking a swig of mouthwash in the 80s. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
I drink coffee from my coffee cup. I drink rum from my coffee cup.
Everything.
Drinks water from it.
Keep it same. Yeah. I like that. For those of you watching, I want to remind you that the Ike Live Show is brought to you by Abu Garcia. We just got back from ICAST. People are going to be catching up on ICAST later, but head over to abugarcia.com. Check out the brand new Ike Series 3.0 rods and reels just launched. Dude, I'm happy to say.
3.0?
Yeah, 3.0 series just launched at ICAST. And I convinced them to once again do the Travel Series rods. That was a struggle because they didn't want to do them. And
really?
I'm like, dude, you got to do those. They're great.
No, I
still use them.
I keep that rod in my tractor at work. They're I have a stop that I go to out in Robbinsville.
Yeah.
They have this lake behind there.
Yeah.
They're keeping it warm.
Dude, it's great.
So nice at the airport.
Right in the overhead, you know, in the closet. Sometimes the stewardess is like, oh, but
it's like 2.5 feet, that case.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's about it, man.
It's good.
You can put it anywhere.
Yep. And it has two tips. Everybody loves two tips. You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
Better than one.
Also brought to you by the Ike Foundation. Head over to IkeFoundation.org. Beck, a lot of good stuff happening over there. We had a kids tournament a few weeks ago. Went good. Got a lot of kids coming out now. I love the enthusiasm I'm seeing. Kids that are getting into fishing that want to mix competition in. Mm-hmm. It's cool to see that. So it's pretty awesome.
We still have one more in September.
Okay.
Yep. And the kayak tournament's coming up. We're going to be on the Upper Susquehanna.
That's oh,
right. As well.
That's not knocked this year?
No.
Upper Susquehanna. Yeah.
Upper Susquehanna. They actually catch some fish.
When's that's Cooper or Newton? The last.
Cooper.
Cooper. In September, right?
We're supposed to be Cooper.
When's the kayak event?
We all know how Gloucester.
Mid-September? Mid-September? Late September on the kayak event?
Late.
Late September.
Almost positive.
What's the official launch going to be?
So you can basically any public boat ramp from like Harrisburg up to the split, you know, where the two branches split. That's a lot of that's a couple, probably 150 river miles.
So that campground will be the cutoff?
That campground will be the last public ramp you can
Because that's where,
on.
Okay. That's all right, right. Got it.
Yeah, because we're going to follow Bassmaster rules. Bassmaster is there next week. I'm actually leaving Tuesday for it.
Oh, cool.
For the Upper Susquehanna.
What's the water level? What's the water levels like up there?
Right now, the water level in the Upper Susquehanna is so low. It's literally the lowest that guys are, you know, putting on their social media. It's the lowest they've ever seen it in their life, you know. So super low, not a lot of rain.
Everyone's
going
to be down.
I mean.
They're paying it for gold.
It's interesting because the Champlain, we got 3 inches of rain when we were up there for the Toyota.
Yeah.
And that lake came up 2 feet.
Right.
I guess that storm was north of the Susquehanna watershed, maybe?
It had to be. Because that's a Hudson River watershed, right?
Pete, everything's a balance.
Yeah. Well, it goes out the top and comes out the bottom. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we just got 3 inches of rain on us.
Wow.
I mean, it was flat pouring. You couldn't drive more than 40 miles an hour.
That's crazy.
It was coming down so hard.
He could.
I wonder if, but these are real isolated storms, I guess, this time of year.
Yeah.
But I couldn't believe Champlain. Champlain's 150 miles long. It's 10 miles wide, and it came up this much overnight.
That's wild.
I couldn't believe it.
That's wild.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, 3 inches, right? You got 3 inches of rain dump on it, but then you got the Adirondacks and all that watershed.
All the creeks.
Just comes right into the lake.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe how fast it came up overnight. It was pretty crazy. I saw creeks running muddy.
How much it changed the bite?
Well, I think it caused the tournament to be won through one of the cut-throughs. So I think it changed it extremely dramatically. Like the exit hole for Mallet's Bay, outer Mallet's Bay, the flow increased. And
like a magnet. Yeah, small amount of
because that Vermont water, there's not much for that to escape. Mallet's is a primary area where all those mallets.
It's a giant area. Yeah. And you got a hole that's
that big.
As wide as a bass boat.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And they showed a video of the camera boat there, and there's 10 boats in that cut through and
White Rock.
This is Mallet's Bay.
Mallet's Bay.
It sets up just like it though.
Every minute, every second, somebody had a fish on. Every second. It's crazy.
Burlington.
Yeah.
I fished a tournament there when it was like that, like 25, 30 years ago in the nation.
Yeah.
The old Federation. And we were out, you could just walk across the smallmouth. And I've gone back there every year to check on it. Because it's out of the way of where I normally fish.
Well, this year,
I didn't check. I didn't look.
The year that I won my first elite, which was September of 98.
We were at Mallet's Bay in that tournament, right?
September 98. Yeah, we were at Mallet's Bay.
Yeah.
And David Fritz came in third in that tournament, fishing that exact
fishing
spot.
Fishing that cut?
Exact spot.
Wow.
Crazy, right?
What were the weights? What were the...
The weights one you fished were blowout.
I've never seen weights that high. I mean,
dudes had 20 pounds a day and came in like 10th.
Yep.
Those rock outlets are the only place up there I ever really got smallmouth on crankbaits.
Right.
I can't think of anywhere else where I really ever have done well where I'd be like confident.
There's a lot of fish love that current. Yeah.
So the current increased, and all the cut throughs, that particular cut through just dominated the tournament. The dude had a 22-pound bag of smallmouth, you know, and crazy. It changed things. I think some guys struggled to catch them a little bit because it probably moved their fish around. I know one of the areas, my primary area, this is the most amazing thing. I pulled up and I was fishing one
Pete's
of
dock,
the
Pete's Rock
creek discharges, and it was clear and it was running
Pete's
hard.
Clear discharge.
And and I started catching them right away. And while I was fishing, like 45 minutes into fishing, it turned mud.
Wow. It went from clear to mud.
It went from clear to mud. Like the delay was about 12 hours for the mud to get down.
Right.
And then the mud just washed over all the grass and
killed everything.
And that was it. That was it for that area for me.
Right.
You know?
Time to go.
It was crazy how fast it happened. It's crazy. But the weights were monstrous. 19 pounds was 45th place after day one. And here's the other thing. Everybody wants to say forward facing. I'd say the majority of those bags were not
right
fishing that way.
Just fishing.
And a lot of the forward facing guys.
Just because they were in one spot and they were on them.
In some cases, a lot of those guys were forward facing and didn't make the cut.
Yeah. But
coming in with 17, 18 pounds.
But first, second forward facing. Probably third.
Yeah. First, I guess so. I mean, he was fishing the cut through, man. You know? Like
in the write up, it said he was using forward facing.
I guess, you know, but would it matter that much, you
right,
know?
Right.
Because you're fishing those sidewalls. I mean, the fish are just stacked up like cordwood in there.
Right.
You know, I'll give you that. Yeah. I'll argue that.
He was using forward facing. I'm sure he has a prototype coming out next week.
Oh,
come
yeah.
On.
Prototype jig head minnow coming out next week. Special.
But I did. There was some forward facing stuff going on out there that was like, how guys are using it. It's just. It's crazy.
It's my
your intern.
Yeah.
How are you with it? How are you learning it?
I just time. I keep working on it. Like my kids are going to the national championship, and they caught their winning fish off of it. You know, Max caught it. You know, he spied two and threw his jig in there and caught a fish that wound up, you know, winning that tournament for him.
Yeah.
You know, so I keep working at it and keep studying it. I'm way more effective this year than I was last year.
I will tell you this, dude, when this whole madness started, you know, and we had Randy Bockett on the show, of course, you know, Brian, you had Randy Bockett and Ben Milliken on your show. That was
their show.
That was strange.
That was two dudes pointing. Roman candles at each other.
Yeah. But I will say this.
Brian, can you just wave real quick? Because someone's super confused over on YouTube asking where you are. Brian's on the couch.
Brian's on the couch. You're blending in too much to the couch.
I'm so exhausted, dude. I want to blend in more.
I know.
I'm like, about to put my feet up.
But here's the thing. When Randy first started coming out with all his, you know.
Blockisms?
Yeah. His talk of it's the devil and it's the worst and it's. You know, it's a cheat box. I'm trying to think of some of the terms.
Cheat box.
It's a cheat box.
Spotlighting,
like all these terms. It's evil. It's
scoper.
When he first started saying that a few years ago, call it 2-3 years ago, I was like, dude, Randy's going
Did he say it that long ago?
Oh, yeah.
A couple of years ago he started. And when it first started, I was kind of like, man, Randy's going a little overboard. You know, like maybe he's getting a little crazy here. But, dude. I can honestly sit here and tell you that I'm less shocked by what he's saying now. I'm more understanding of his thought pattern.
Yeah, Randy's a truther.
You know, I definitely am more understanding his thoughts on it.
I mean, you guys are just a few years away from a full video game screen that has distance and trajectory.
Oh, yeah, it's coming.
You're not far away.
No. You know, it's coming. I mean, it's just getting far removed from actually fishing to me.
No, it'll be hunting.
Casting into the unknown, you
it's
know, the hunt, the
point.
Chase, you know.
Yeah.
Just getting away from that. But anyway, I don't want to make this forward-facing sonar show. It could very easily. I see the comments coming up. If you're watching, if you have a question or comment, send them through. I know Becky's monitoring the calls, and Chef is once in a while. Looks over there and laughs at something.
I have a gift.
You have a gift.
I have a gift that this was. I was
a gift,
Peter. What? You have a gift.
You mean a gift like one of those little emoji things? A gift?
No, a gift.
Gift.
that I would like to give.
With a tick.
You need to pass this down because this was going to be my.
It's going right past me.
My costume.
He's looking at you.
Okay. Oh, all right.
And I want to pass this all the way down.
I'll take it.
When was this costume going to
take this gift?
Is this mashed potatoes?
Oh, wow.
There's multiple gifts.
This one, I was supposed to be Dave for the last show where we were dressed up as
a Halloween.
Yeah, the Halloween
special.
And what happened?
These did not. Dave! This is a good gift.
Oh, it's an amazing gift, dude. Come on.
What is that, a smock? What is that?
That is a, yeah. Like a,
is that a poncho?
It's a MAGA apron.
Yeah.
Jeez, what else we got here, dude?
Oh, the pants too?
No, please tell me these are pants.
No.
Oh, all right.
Oh, but that's a totally different style. Look at the size of the eagle.
Dave, can you go please put them on?
Oh, I will. I'll use this one right here, dude. That is amazing.
Here's what I want. Pete went and got this.
I know.
I know.
Man.
They didn't show up in time for the show.
But here's what I want to say. These might be awesome. You might reconsider keeping these. Is that a collector's item now?
It might be.
Because
it might have value.
That's what I'm saying.
I get to choose which one you take back. At least if you're gonna Indian give me, dude, I gotta, at least
it's all you, man.
They're good shirts, man.
Oh, dude, all the above, man.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's cool.
Back to Champlain real quick.
Yeah.
I saw there was a derb there over the weekend.
Yeah.
I guess yesterday.
Yep.
And it was like 24, 24, 23, 22. Green ones.
Was it all green?
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
The green ones were real active.
Out of tie.
I mean, out of tie. Okay, interesting. A lot of the guys that I was talking to were saying that last time the elites were there, nobody ran the tie. And everybody's kind of, you know, thinking about making the move.
Right.
But, you know, I don't go but I was, they were effective. I think that rising water and that extra current, that really helped that largemouth bike.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be cool to see what you guys are doing.
It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. All right. This is a catch-up show. We'll start on the left. Dave.
Ketchup.
We talked a little bit.
Wait,
the show
can you
started.
Hold, yeah. Can you hold that thought?
Sure.
We have a very upset person on Facebook.
No. Oh, no.
Garrett on Facebook really wants to know if you have fished the Navesink River or its tributaries.
Garrett, Navesink.
Where is that?
That name sounds familiar.
Hold on.
I don't know.
Indian.
Just wait. 20,000 comments.
I think it's in like northwestern Appalachia.
I bet you probably find it.
I don't know, dude.
It kind of rings a bell, but I can't place the Navesink. Have you?
I have no. No, doesn't ring a bell.
Navajo.
I would say no, Beck.
Navesink River?
Yeah.
Sounds like Connecticut. They have a lot of stuff like that up there.
No, I feel like
Estuary in New Jersey.
I feel like he commented somewhere in the mix.
Jersey,
it is.
I get them all in what? One.
Oh, yeah. It's in New Jersey.
Yeah.
I don't know where it is.
Oh, that's beautiful, Dave.
Monmouth County.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah,
how about that?
You got a little extra room in there.
Screenshot that, bro. No on the Navesink, but now that I know it's in New Jersey.
Well, what about
it? Get a look. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you're still watching, let us know about it. Eight miles long. Okay, well, that's pretty big.
Places got them?
Places got them. Dave, we'll play a little catch up.
Yeah.
How's everything been? How's the family? How's work? I talked to you a little bit. You have fished recently.
Yes.
Yesterday. I didn't hear that.
What?
In the kayak.
Yeah. On purpose? Oh, yeah. It wasn't accidental.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, Brian DeCarpenter and Pete, if you follow Dave, I see posts every once in a while from Dave of this amazing garden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And posts? I asked Dave about it today.
Mel.
Post. Yeah. Mel.
Oh.
Yeah.
I got you.
And Dave told me he's running out of room. And I said, he's out of room.
Oh, he's out of room.
And I said,
Dave, do you want to be my neighbor?
Well, that's the only solution. You got to move. You know, you got to get some. Got to get some property somewhere else.
Dude. Yeah, no. When the kids finally do leave, we're probably going to upstate New York.
Upstate New York
or Vermont.
We're going north.
We saw a place we saw a place in Ticonderoga, right on the water, that man, like, but the problem was, like, it's considered seasonal, so we couldn't take out, like, a second home mortgage on it. It had to be a cash purchase because banks – or we could have took out, like, a home. we could have like got like, you know, at home equity, like, you know, took equity out of the house. Right. But the thing was, it happened so quickly. You needed to have the money like right, right. then and there. It was gone.
Right.
But yeah, we're going up.
It's beautiful. It'll be great.
Wow. Dumbest pass
winters,
in the country.
Winters will be cold, but, and you'll have to deal with a little bit of this. But you know.
What's that?
Yeah, Ticonderoga. They have a little bit of like gene pool problems up there.
Oh, really?
Short arms like dinosaurs.
Well, you got to figure, Pete. Like it's a limited. It's a limited pool of genetics, right? Like, not a lot of people live up there.
Oh, boy.
And some of the genetics are a little kinked.
This is shocking.
I would totally go north.
T-Rex. Yeah.
All these people that's actually funny because you were talking about Florida for so long.
No, Florida's that fuck Florida.
I thought you were going.
That's I'm shocked. No. I thought that's where you're going.
I go south and I'm in that heat. I'm like, nope, Mike, you'll never get me to go south.
Jersey was hotter than Florida.
I will go north.
Upstate New York's gorgeous.
Yeah. It was,
we feel home there, man.
Yeah.
So getting caught up. Family's great. David's going into 10th grade. Madison's going into 9th grade. He's getting gigantic. You know, he's still wrestling, and he's just started doing boxing and jiu-jitsu.
Wow.
He wanted to do that. I mean, he didn't do That's football. Awesome. He's skipping football this year.
Yeah.
Good.
And he's,
Are we going to have a UFC fighter on our hands here?
Well, he hasn't been punched in the face yet, you know, so we'll see what happens, you know. Like, when you get hit, you know, it changes your inspiration and you taste your own blood going down your mouth.
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone's great. Mel's great. The house, you know. Garden is actually exactly where I want it. Now that I saw your sauna, I absolutely know where I can put that. Like I think that's next.
Yeah. What do you have? We did put that together ourselves.
We did. You built it yourself.
People won't believe it watching, but we actually did put it together.
No, I know. Yeah. I have a place exactly for it, dude. Like I'm thinking about it.
It was like Lincoln Logs, wasn't it?
At your place?
Yeah.
A sauna? Once a circle.
No, he's got one.
Yeah.
Like they click together.
Yeah, basically. It's like Lincoln Logs for adults. Yeah,
we were in it today.
Yeah,
because I read that apparently you can, I guess, ward off
evil spirits.
That too, Alzheimer's. They say that like sauna use a couple times a week actually is so good for the brain.
Yeah, and you know, like there's this whole heat shock protein thing. But I saw some muscle guys who are doctors talk about that too. That the amount of heat shock proteins that you get from that are so infinitaminal that it doesn't help. I don't know.
You know what?
I just saw a guy shit on that the other day.
I want to get my money's worth.
No, I was all for it. Then this one guy I like had to go and shit on it, dude. Yeah. And you know, I don't know. He's actually a real doctor.
Infinitesimal.
Good word.
But listen, if anything
like best word I've ever heard Dave use.
Pretty freaking good.
If I could do anything to like not lose my mind, I'm in.
Yeah.
Because I definitely drink.
Turn off the TV.
Yeah.
I don't watch TV.
Well, I said this before on the show, but I chewed on lead split shot when I was a kid, and I still think I'm okay.
Yeah.
That's questionable.
We still do that.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I think about all the plastic straws I used to just chew on endlessly.
Were you supposed to do that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but think about our kids. Like all those dishwasher things are like in plastic. Now they're like, oh, there's plastic on all your dishes. Like the amount of plastic that's in our
That was probably a bad idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our kids are way more screwed than us.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to turn this into a whole, because I could start right now, start talking about the 80s and how awesome we had it compared to these poor bastards. You know, like, I don't know.
Isn't it great, though? Every generation says that.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know
what? Like our parents are saying that about us, and then we're saying that about our kids. Our kids will say that about their kids.
So there's a funny Instagram channel I subscribe to called Growing Up in the 80s. I highly recommend it for anyone who is a Gen Xer, all of us. Like, and it the clothes now. Actually, they just showed a video in 85 of Seaside Heights Boardwalk.
Yeah.
And it's what the kids are wearing right now.
Oh, yeah.
The girls
back.
Are wearing like those Suzanne Summer workout pants that are just barely below their ass cheeks.
Lady W.
The floral stuff's back in for the boys. You know, like it's all coming back. The mullets are coming
back. The mullets are back.
Mullets. The big glasses.
But not just mullets. Like,
now? No, because they've been broccoli for like the last 6-8 years.
So it's not. It's broccoli not. Heads. It wasn't the Brian mullet. It wasn't like the Joe Dirt mullet. It is more like a real glorious like. Drummer of like Van Halen.
Glorious.
It's feathered. It's feathered. It's tapered, and it's still coming out here in the front, which absolutely makes feathered me insane. But
I like that better than the broccoli. Jake is studying the mullet. He's studying that. He's got that. He's thinking about getting that.
I was sitting behind a kid today in church. Had a glorious mullet, dude.
Yeah. Did you hear that?
I did hear that.
That's it. A lot of changes happened.
Yeah, a lot of changes.
Dave, I wasn't there because I was coming back from Florida, but sat next to Dave in church a couple times recently.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We go to True North.
True North?
Yeah.
The Botanowitzes go there, don't they?
I don't know. I haven't, there's so many different services you don't know.
Does Junior go to True North?
What, I don't know, but I heard that that church actually just bought the old Sears in Vineland, too.
They did.
Yeah.
They're going to reopen Sears Roebuck & Co.? Yes!
No.
Oh.
They probably get like
farm
about
souls for the Lord.
They probably get about 1,000 people a Sunday between their three or four sessions. Mm. Yeah.
They don't do interpretive dance, though.
I don't know what that is.
Okay, good. Then if you don't know what it is.
What's that, like a conga line?
No speaking in tongues yet either.
Nah. I don't know. It's good. The interpretive dance stuff freaks me
out. I grew up with that.
I know.
I would love to see that again someday.
Dude, I didn't even know. I live right by where he went. Like when I wasn't let, when we weren't allowed to hang out with him, he went to a place like right by where I lived. No, I mean like for that time you went there, not like indefinitely. We weren't
across
like
the street from the
Bacuity,
but banned from hanging with you.
Why were you banned? Why were you banned?
I said we weren't. I said we weren't banned. I was saying we weren't.
Okay.
I'm just saying I didn't know I lived by that place.
He was banned, but we weren't.
I was banned from bringing.
I miss you, bro.
Let me tell you something right now. His stepdad was 1,000% right. When I started figuring out this whole, when I started figuring out Jesus and God, I immediately realized that the people from the parents from Footloose were 100% correct.
You know? From
yes.
What?
All wait, you young people,
wait. Band and dancing,
rewatch it.
Bring it back to the 80s. Somebody just brought up the Trapper Keeper. Does anyone remember what the image was on their Trapper Keeper? Mine is totally the unicorn with the rainbow.
Yeah, but
purple background.
Yeah, but they also had the Trapper Keepers that you could insert your own images as well.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember, this is what I remember about Trapper Keepers. Dave will back me up on this one. Brian, too. They had the Trapper Keepers that we used to do our graffiti. You would graffiti. But and then you could stick it in the underneath of the Trapper Keeper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, that's I had all my little art, you know, burners, little Ike burners and tags all right, on my
Trapper Keeper. My Trapper Keeper was more like wishful thinking on my mom's part when she would about to buy me one every year, like mandated. All I did was use that round thing like to pinch the calluses on my hand from freestyling. I would like open it up and like pinch my calluses on those like little teeth like in between the round thing. And I would like lift the thing with it.
Well, I'm sorry, South End. You had a Lambo. I had a unicorn. Yep. I don't know what that
is. I had like the
I don't
the shopping bag, the brown paper bag.
Oh, yeah. No, that was for the book covers. You would use the
I
brown
did that
paper.
For
WF Teal said that he had the blank Trapper Keeper.
Blank Trapper.
Those must have been the cheap ones.
They were probably the cheap ones.
I can remember almost being thrown out of a class because I refused to cover the book. Because I thought it was the dumbest thing ever. Yeah. I'm not going to wreck your book.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to look at it.
I'm not even going to open it. It's going to smell fresh. There ain't going to be any sense in there for me. There ain't going to be nothing falling out of it because it's never going to be open.
I'm never opening it.
The brown paper shopping bag
they were awesome.
Was the system.
We would spend hours wrapping those books in my house. All the books would be laid out. My mom showed me how to do it.
Yeah.
It'd be perfect.
We'd wrap and tape. Books. Yeah. Yeah.
They don't even have books now.
No.
You remember when the back-to-school sales happened like a week before school started? Now they start in January.
It's starting like.
Yeah, or the schools will – what's the email thing that our kids have? They send you everything you need in the email. You press a button, takes you to Amazon or whatever. You press a button.
That's amazing.
They send you that was until now. There was a company where you basically spent like $40 and everything was sent to your house in a box that the kids would need. We got the email this summer because I was like, I'm going to have to actually individually buy the stupid school supplies. We got an email a few weeks ago from the superintendent that they're supplying the kids with everything this year.
Because there's nothing to supply.
It's about time.
Everything's
online.
Everything's virtual. You guys, everything's on devices.
The amount of taxes the Shalik school district pulls in from you people for zero services they provide. They should be buying the kids clothes and rats.
They should. But here's the thing. I
kind of have to agree with Dave, though. Like, we don't even get trash.
You don't even have cops.
Yeah, we don't have cops.
We don't have trash. We have nothing. Yeah.
20 minutes from now, a state trooper might accidentally drive by.
Pretty amazing. I like our teachers.
Your taxes are high to keep other people away.
Oh, yeah.
That could be.
Lots of taxes, no services. Who's going to buy an
But
air?
Here's the thing. I'll look.
People that can
well,
sign me up.
COVID, to keep... Everyone and their brother, they're all coming down here.
I'll look to Pete to back me up on this one because Pete's an old guy like me. Do you miss books? Like, there's something about a book.
Dude.
Like, Becky's been reading books on her phone.
I'm trying to.
It drives me. Dude, it drives me nuts.
No.
Reading a book on your phone.
I just saw the most books ever.
You did?
Ken Dukes.
Oh, that's right. He's got
books on
that.
Books.
Actual books. Like with paper.
Like and... his wall of books, it's actually too deep.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I do prefer an actual book to flip the pages, but we live in the middle of nowhere.
Like, yeah, we got to get into just... that. Ken's place. That's it's insane.
Amazing, huh?
Oh, my God.
I like the texture. I write in the margins.
The smell.
You know, there's just something about it that,
paper
that I've always liked.
To death.
The musk.
Yeah. I'm trying to listen to books now.
I can't.
And I'm doing it, but it's you try to like multitask, like you're driving, listening to an audiobook.
Or that
you're
works.
Doing something else, but you can't, like when you hear something that's impactful that you want to, you know, remember to whether it's your business or your life, you want to incorporate, you know, I like to take that note and write it down. I do it on my phone sometimes, but I mean, it's just not the same.
Right.
Actually, the book is awesome.
I like the book.
I like it.
I tried to cheat code some of C.S. Lewis's stuff through listening to it while working. I can't do it.
Yeah.
It's not the same as actually reading it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I just can't.
Yeah.
But I can listen to a podcast, you know, but I can't listen to a book.
Matthew Weimer said, how about real maps?
Oh, real maps.
I keep them in every truck we have.
That's old school.
What is it?
We have paper maps. And
maps.
Maps.
Oh, yeah.
And driving.
We have like the books.
Yeah. Driving or fishing.
I used to have them.
Driving or fishing. And I still use paper maps both.
So I used to have four maps. These map books, they were red and they were for each state. And you could, that's how I found lakes.
Right.
I had
pre-satellite image.
This is before the internet.
Right.
You know, I had like New Jersey, I had Pennsylvania, New York, and Delaware.
Yeah.
And you would open up and you'd find the greenest area and you'd find a lake in the middle and try to find that road that led to it.
Yeah.
And that was it, man.
Now, remember Pete, globes, Pete?
Do you still globes?
Pete used a sextant.
Pete's a compass. Pete never had a globe because he's a flat earther.
Can we talk about that later?
We will. That's the after show. Do you still carry paper maps with you in your fishing tournaments, or are you totally done with them?
Man, it's, you know, I haven't carried them lately, but I do like to have a map, and I just haven't done it in the last couple tournaments, but I tack them up. Like, I don't carry them with me in the boat anymore.
Right, but you have it
but
in your room.
I like
or
to have it
house,
in the room and the house.
But
so we're eating breakfast and dinner. You know, we can look at the map, see where you practice that day, try to put patterns. Like when water comes in, like it did on Champlain, you can try to visualize its impact. You can't do that on the sonar screen on your phone, you know? So Jake has not been exposed to maps at all.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah. Dude, remember sitting Indian style on the floor, like you'd be eating a massive bowl of Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah.
You'd have your notepad, like listing
the,
you know, that was something about that. Magical, man.
Yeah. I love that. We at our booth at ICAST, this group that they teach teachers how to teach kids how to fish. Like they do a lot of stuff for the Boy Scouts. They have classes for teachers, like for parents that want to teach their Cub Scout group how to fish for bluegills.
Yep. Or my trout. God, are you kidding me? Wait till those liberals pervert fishing with their goddamn idea. So these aren't fishermen.
Wait a minute.
These are regular liberal teachers being taught how to fish.
No, my God.
The barbs are already gone.
The barbs are gone.
Barbs are gone. The hooks are rounded off.
It's 1 pound test. Everything gets broke off.
Oh my it's God. It's just Velcro.
How about the Velcro?
That went way south fast, and I didn't see it coming.
I didn't either.
No, but it's
absolutely
that's not what's going on.
No enticing any bed fish with any color other. No white lures getting thrown on the beds.
Zero white lures.
Well, my point is,
everything.
Well, this will be the last reunion show we do for a while, huh?
It's all recyclable material. So.
The point is, he had a map.
Right.
He had a map, and they were still using maps to identify lakes and creeks and rivers.
The point was maps. I'm sorry.
I was playing off the map dialogue. You know,
that was so awesome. I love that. All right, Brian, let's go to you. I know we've been in touch. I know some big changes going on. I really want to talk about Bass After Dark. Talk about that a little bit. Great. How's it been going? You a year in now, or?
No. We started in November.
Start in November. Okay.
Yes, yeah, so we're getting close to
a year. Yeah. How's everything going with the new show?
Good.
Good.
Good. It's been fun, man.
Has been fun, has it?
Yeah, working with him is a lot of fun.
Okay. That's
cool. He's special.
Yeah.
He's pretty awesome.
Are there similarities or are there or mainly differences between the Ike Live show or Bash U Live or what how would you describe
I'd say
it?
A lot of differences. A
lot of differences.
Yeah.
Okay.
Brian doesn't have to produce that.
He's working with the Charles Xavier of Bass Fishing,
that's
dude.
True.
Like,
true.
You know?
I came up with some ideas.
Ken kind of looks like him, too. Minus the wheelchair.
He's Professor X.
Yeah.
He is Professor X.
He's a mobile X.
I actually had a conversation with somebody recently, and I was like, that would be a great topic for you.
Go ahead with it.
You want me to tell you?
Yeah.
So I don't remember who I was talking to. I was at ICAST, and we were talking something about like the timing of getting into professional bass fishing. And
that it's the worst time ever?
Right? No, 20 years ago?
The crux of it is more like, like at what stage of your life, like as an angler, does it make sense? So like you have Trey McKinney, who's like super young and people are like, oh, he should have gone to college. He should have got more experience, that kind of thing. But then the other conversation was there's folks who have had careers maybe in their 30s, 40s. They've got families and everything, but then they've decided, oh, no, wait, I don't want to, like, midlife crisis almost. Like, oh, I don't want to, like, miss out on that dream of mine.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go back.
Well, they're selfish, but go ahead.
Right, so to me, I'm like, that's the most insane thing ever because fishing is gambling. Why would you do that? So, like, I almost was thinking about, I was like, that'd be a great topic for you guys. Like, should you dive into bass fishing as?
I mean, right now, everything's trending young.
It is.
And it'd be interesting to see if these young guys are going to be replaced by young guys
grade schoolers.
In 5 years or something.
What's Duke's take on it? Because for we've been saying
he
this
does not
for
he
years.
Does, he's against restricting technology.
I'm talking about this component of it, like the age thing. Because we've been saying this forever. We've had Ken on the show. He's been our guest host a bunch of times, and it was like everybody says it's trending young. He's like, the data does not support it. The data says.
Was that this year? Did he?
I'm just saying, has it changed? No. And I haven't talked to him about it in the last year, but I've talked to him recently, like in the previous year, and he's still like, the data doesn't support it. The tournament winners average age has not gone down. The classics winners age has not gone down. He's really been on that soapbox.
Has this year?
Has it updated yet? Because it really seems like it should, you know, it has made that turn.
Yeah.
You know, in the last 12 months.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
I don't know either.
What's Ken say? What say you, Mr. Duke?
What say you?
What say?
I love how Brian's update became into like Ken Duke.
Yeah,
we're in
Ken.
I know.
He doesn't want the attention, but he deserves it. He's pretty awesome. In his office, which is floor to ceiling, 12-foot ceilings of books and just a path to get around.
Rich mahogany.
Wow. Leather. There's a shelf that's that long and like 13 binders of every article on every bass, 18 pounds and up.
Dang.
Wow, by decades.
Dang.
Yeah. Wow.
Like he's found and printed out and categorized. He's got all the large.
How many of those were snagged by Mike Long off the bed?
Probably a couple.
A couple of them.
Nobody's paying him to do that stuff.
Right.
He can't turn it off.
Brian, did any book shock you? Did you see any book that he had that you were like, I can't believe he read that?
No, there's too many. I just couldn't even look.
He didn't have Hillary Clinton's To Raise a Village.
Did he have?
Is that a book?
Did he have?
Is that a book?
It's a book.
Did
Damn
he have,
it. They called it Mein Kampf.
Pam Anderson's Guide to Tantric Sex.
Nah, but maybe.
Did you make that up?
I made that up.
You definitely made
I
that up.
I wish he had that book though. I'd read it.
But like while we were there,
but the old Pam Anderson,
in old like, was it 30s? Issue of Field and Stream showed up. That he had been chasing down on
like eBay
from the 30s.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
that's cool.
Just to get the because Field and Stream would publish twice a year their contest. They had the big fish contest of the year. They were like 1 month be freshwater, another salt.
Oh, that's cool.
How old's Ken?
62.
Does he have kids?
Nope.
We got to figure out who's going to maintain that library. Yeah. Ken's got to figure that out. He's got to find himself like a Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I can tell you this. There's a general
I like that's what we have to figure out for him.
Well, all that curation.
Well, here's
they're just going to come in and go.
Here's what I'm telling you.
They're not even going to like do an estate sale.
We just talked
that
about
stuff
how
right
this
to the
movement Stop of the it. Sport is to young guys, right?
Yeah.
I won't name anybody, but I could 100% tell you there's a general disinterest in the history of the sport.
There is, but
100%.
But there's there's a kid that came to ICAST and I became friends with him this year. He's from Jersey.
Yeah.
David Park, and his Instagram or in his YouTube, his TikTok is DCAM.
Yeah.
And he just started this stuff a year and a half
with
ago.
With a C or a K?
K. He's really
Jake showed me his stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's really smart and he digs into the analytics and he knows how to work the algorithm, but he also, in addition to making his fishing content with the chesties or whatever, he also is really interested in the editorials and the history and does videos on that. And that's
he's
what caught my, he's the anomaly. And I saw that and I saw his interest and I reached out to him, became friends with him and had been talking to him for a while. I actually just met him in person for the first time at ICAST here and we hung out a lot and, you know, he's part of the group now with Eric and everybody. Yeah. You know, I wanted to connect him with Ken and Terry.
Yeah, get him
they
in.
They have that history.
Right.
He can get it out to the kids.
Right. Yeah.
So it's pretty awesome. And he really, you know, actually Friday after ICAST, him and a couple of his buddies came back to Ken's. Ken's like 30 minutes from Orlando, from where the expo was. They came back and Ken showed them all kinds of stuff.
Nice.
And it was awesome.
Tell Ken to open the books and get him in the living will. That's our curator for all that knowledge.
Could be. That could be the hand-me-down.
Make a note on that.
Yeah, make a note on that.
But that's how it happens. You know, he could take that and get it to the kids in his on those platforms.
No one can, like the younger generation isn't as enthralled with history as we were. Like growing up loving football, loved seeing like old Earl Campbell and Jim Brown videos of them trucking dudes like the newer guys don't care about seeing like first year Tom Brady or any of that stuff. They just don't. It's just it's a different mindset because they're programmed differently. Yeah. They have so much information available. They don't have any nostalgia. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just being old.
I see it out on the tournament trail. Like we got so many new faces, like in the Opens and this year at the Toyotas. Like, it's a changing dynamic. They have no idea of the history. Like people will come up to you. You won here before? Like they don't, they have no idea.
People are handing you their keys and their fish rag. Yeah. They don't even know who you are. They don't even know you're Pete. Oh,
yeah. What's the old guy doing
here? You're Santa.
You know it's bad. When,
Santa?
You know it's bad when young kids are like, Santa? Oh, terrible. You know, it's got to be. Different world, right?
Yeah,
different faces out there.
It is,
but they're not getting that nostalgia. They're not getting the.
But they're gonna.
Is the Hall of Fame?
But it's not their fault. It's we have to teach them.
Yeah, where does that lie? Like, where are we missing the mark there? Who's missing the mark?
Everyone.
Well, Bassmaster took the initiative and did that nice series on the history of the sport.
They do a good job.
You know, but it's on Fox.
Yeah, but
right?
Who's watching that?
That's what I mean.
The people who care, the old people.
I mean,
let's be honest. Right. I'm just trying to be honest. So if you watch Bassmaster, MLF, any of those shows, and you don't know about tournament fishing, you're tuning out 5 minutes in. Like if you don't know how it works, you don't know the people involved, you're bored and you're out.
Yeah.
So where are the kids going? They're going to YouTube. They're going to someone who's going to entertain them. Bass and MLF have not done anything to like draw in a younger demographic, explain it to them, make it fun to them. They haven't. They've done the exact same thing they've always done. And it caters to people who already know exactly what's happening.
So Tim Pool was talking about this very thing, not with Bassmasters, but with CNN. MSNBC and Fox News. In 10 years, their average viewer will be dead or close to death because of the demographics. I wonder what Bass's demographics are and if they have a lifespan similar to the mainstream press or the legacy press.
I wonder. That's a good question.
I would say it's similar. You know, it's definitely older.
Death spiral.
Yeah. Interesting.
Sad. Let's just get sadder. Ready to talk about?
We'd like to close the show on that. Yeah. Close the show.
Everything must burn.
If you're watching and you bass fish, take up another hobby immediately.
Yeah, start hunting. No,
start smoking weed.
The hunting world will have this problem. How come the hunting don't have this problem? Why did fish? Why do we have to screw fishing up?
Maybe they do.
Well, the competitive.
Because there's no competitive hunting.
Right. In shooting sports there is, but in actual hunting, it's not there.
They're not even having these conversations. Yeah. They're just out there killing stuff.
But I see the opposite with Jake. Like Jake, all of a sudden in the last year, he's all in. Like he's consuming. He was just watching Jay Shakurit's forward facing sonar. You know, some social.
Yeah.
He's all into Jay now, and he's like, I want to fish like him.
It's Jay's smile that drew him in.
Your boy shows up on my Insta. Like, you know, on Instagram, it'll be like suggestions to follow.
Yeah.
Dude, your dude is there. Like anytime I get,
follow him and he'll stop showing up.
It's Pete's kid, dude. Support the man.
No, Dave can't follow him because if Dave follows him, then the virus will be transmitted to Jake's site.
Then Jake's going to be getting like truther stuff on his stuff, dude.
Don't
lie. Well, Instagram still bans everybody, so they ain't to worry about that. There, he's got to come over to Telegram, and I'll tell him what to
Dave
watch.
See Dave follow Jake, unfollow right immediately.
Block.
Immediately
on Telegram. I'll teach him up.
That's awesome. All right, Brian, what else is going on? Shoulder surgery, right? Was a couple three.
February. Pain med addiction.
That was February.
Dude, they gave me like 10 days.
10 days.
So, yeah, I'm still dealing it, and this was in February. Yeah, okay, 10 days.
Well, how's the recovery going?
Really good.
Okay.
Like the last month and a half, things have gotten a lot better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Mobility's good luck.
I did that. Lift his arm up. See,
I lifted my arm.
And you went palm down.
And that's hard. And then he rubbed it.
shit, that hurt.
My bursitis.
Yeah. But something's wrong with that now.
The leg?
My knee.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully by the time we get to Pete, we're not talking about dentures for crying out loud. Like, no young people are going to watch your show ever, dude.
I know. Yeah.
I got this Sensodyne on my teeth. And,
You know,
they're itching.
So at ICAST.
I got Sensodyne.
Eric and his boys were there.
My cords are killing me.
And then I just hung around them a bit, at the show and just saw their group.
Yeah.
And how much it's growing and the other.
Uncle Larry's crew.
Yeah, Uncle Larry's crew and the other, players involved and hood fishing. And it was a lot of encouraging stuff there. There was. Maybe not like directly tournament fishing, but it was fishing, and it was, in my opinion, it was for the right reasons.
Yeah,
there was some influencer type fishermen that I didn't feel like were in it for the right reasons.
Right,
maybe started a lure company and took over, but like I feel like these kids are, I thought it was just a lot of positive energy, a lot of good energy, good kids.
Yeah. Well, Beck, would you agree with this statement, what Brian was just talking about, using hood fishing and Eric's guy, using it as an example?
Hood fishing.
Don't have to tournament fish to have an impact and grow the sport, right?
Right.
You do not have to, right?
Fishing is bigger than tournament fishing.
It's bigger than that.
And tournament people forget that.
Yes.
Right. I think a lot of guys assume that you have to be a Bass Pro Tour or an elite guy to have an impact on the sport. Dude, that's so far from the truth.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to. And I think that number's smaller than the big pie of people that fish.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Way smaller.
Yeah.
Way smaller.
Yeah. Yeah. Jake's always bringing these guys to me. Like, Dad, look what this guy's, teaching.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jake, unfollow that man.
You discredit
you were gonna, him. I discredit
the teaching part. The teaching part does aggravate me, too.
It's like you are going to spend – I am going to have to unteach everything that you're being taught.
Right. From a teaching competitive standpoint, maybe that's true. But you know, what about just getting, you know, a 13, 14, 15-year-old
get them excited about
Get them excited about grabbing a rod, you know?
Yeah.
It's, that's going on.
The Uncle Larry's guys, the biggest thing there is that, like, it's exciting, it's fun, like, go out fishing. Like, they just make it fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. That kid Kai's entertaining. My son likes him.
Like, they're 40 years old, and Vegas thinks that they're his age.
They're 40?
No, I'm just kidding.
Dang. Shit.
They're not out?
What happened? So, Pete, you're always like bah humbug and Jake's follows?
Not always, but
I get it, Pete.
I get guys that are like, I can't believe these guys are putting this out, like, as an authority.
You're like James Earl Jones in The Sandlot. Like, Jake comes into your study, and you're just like,
yeah.
The best story is Jake came in one night. Pete was, like, on the couch watching the Eagles or whatever.
The Eagles.
Jake's like, look at this dude. He's, like, teaching all this great stuff. Pete grabs, snatches the fucking phone out of Jake's hand, hits unfollow, never yells right in Jake's face, never go to that site again. And it was Dave LaFever. So it's a really good story.
Nobody would.
He was up ranting pro Trump. Dave, you should be hanging out with Dave.
Look, I'll hang out with him. I'll have a beer with him.
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
Who the hell isn't pro Trump by now?
He's got.
Where were you people in 2016? Look at me after Trump shit now. People are giving me the middle finger, flying my flag on my truck. Where was that at? Where was that now? Everyone's Trump.
Right,
get out of here.
Now.
Too late.
Do we need a potty break?
I see a couple guys taking a potty break. I did want to. I wanted to take a break, but Pete, let me go to you, and I want to get a catch up with you, and then we'll take a potty break. How's everything? I know I get to catch up with you all the time, so fishing with Jake is great. Obviously, I love that. Yeah. I love it. I see it. I think it's great. But
it's killing.
Bass University, catch us up. How's all that stuff going?
Can you believe it happened with Jake?
Dude, it's amazing.
Like,
it's amazing because I remember how many years ago. I remember you really trying to get him to like it.
I slow played it so bad. I'm like, we'd go out and the fish on the Chesapeake would be like blowing up on frogs or something so awesome for us.
Yeah.
And he would be like, can we go tubing now? You know, can we beach the boat and go hike? Yeah. Or can we jump boat waves? That was his favorite. Like,
how old is he at this point with the jumping?
Really until last year.
Wow.
You know, like the boat would be in the driveway. You know, I'd have a rare weekend and I'd be like, man, you know, we could go do this. We could go to Delaware. Yeah. Maybe we could travel and go to Champlain for a couple days, you know, and
he don't even know he's with like the Bill Belichick of the Upper Chesapeake. He wants to go jump waves with the
dude. I mean, we are jumping. Let's drive to the ocean. Can we drive to the ocean, Dad? You know,
that's something.
And
launch at Gloucester City and make it all the way to Cape May.
Yep. Yeah. But it was awesome. I love, you know, I just like spending time with him, and we're outdoors and we're doing that stuff, and we would fish
moment,
a little bit.
Though? Like, can
your
you
tournament?
You can pinpoint.
I can pinpoint it to your tournament, the Union Lake tournament.
Wow.
Just recently where he got
last
that
summer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Last summer at the Ike Foundation tournament where, I always ask him, do you want to fish?
Yeah.
Like, Brendan's coming over, you know, it's always, you know. And
Fortnite.
He's like, nothing going on. Fortnite is back. Oh, yeah, God, I want to kill myself.
Minecraft's back, too. The high schoolers are doing it.
Oh, they updated Fortnite and all. They're all back now, you know.
Yeah.
But so anyways, last summer at Dyke, and I'm like, Union Lake, you want to go check it out? We'll go fish it. And we went there, and, you know, we're fishing the offshore gravel, shell bed, whatever's out there, and you know, right away he catches a
4-pound smallie.
He catches a big smallmouth. I think I can't remember now.
I think it was a 4.
Yeah.
He did catch a 4.6.
Yeah. Did you have him, Bry?
He caught it. He caught like a 2.5.
Pete won't let him fish with anyone else.
And then he got a 4.6. And then he slept the rest of the tournament.
Dang.
You know, but then.
But that was a spark.
Accolade when he got
the
accolade.
Dave Haas weighing the fish in. He's like, oh, look at the size of this fish, and you know, he got excited about it. People are congratulating him. He won the tournament.
Yeah.
He got the cool trophy.
Yeah.
He's still up in his room, and And when he got home from that, he fished every day for 2 weeks.
Wow.
And then he went back to video games a little bit, but never really like it was before.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
It was always, you know, and then it was, hey, Jake, you know, I want to go out on the river. The tide's, you know, tide looks good. You know, we got a morning low tide, you know. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, I'm in. 4 o'clock in the morning, 15 minutes, he's ready to go.
Wow. You got him amped to go on the Delaware River?
Yeah.
Wow.
He loved
it. I went and looked at a job in your neighborhood. And as I'm there, I was just getting ready to leave. It was kitchen remodel. And I guess I had my hat on backwards like this. And I hear this kid come in. He's like, or I hear somebody come in. He's like, is that a Bass U hat? Turn around. It's there like, how old is Jake?
He'll be 15.
So his kid was like 14, 15, something like that. I was like, oh yeah. He's like, yeah, my buddy, Jake's dad, that's his. I'm like, oh shit. So he's got a whole posse of.
He created a little mob.
Yeah.
I hope he's not listening, but I strategically, I'm doing that. Like I'm wanting him to, like I take his buddies out all the time and we'll go out on the Delaware. I'll teach him how to fish, you know, get them right on the juice at low tide and they'll catch one or two or three. We were out on we named this weed corner,
one of my
on
spots.
The Chesapeake, Jake's corner. We had me, Jake, and two of his buddies. We caught 54. They caught. I didn't catch. They caught 54 bass in one day on this corner.
Dang.
And one of them was Tanner. And now Tanner is he's fishing this week at the Nationals. And you know they're kind of building. They're building this crew. Jake started a fishing club at his high school.
Wow.
And it got approved and it got approved
in 1 year.
In 1 year. It got through all the red tape, but he can't start having meetings till the fall.
Wow.
So he's going to have a high school fishing club. He's already got 15 kids just in his freshman class that signed up. The sophomores, juniors, and seniors don't even know about it yet.
Who's going to be the coach? You?
No, they have to have a teacher, coach, but I'll be an advisor, you know,
teaching the teacher.
Yeah, I'll teach the teacher.
Yeah.
And
oh my god.
So
just real quick, we're excited to touch about base that. On what Brian just said, right?
Chef, everybody.
Funny.
He always gets an applause.
He's like Raul on Sanford and Son. Every time he's in a room, like, oh, you crazy fool, and I'll be like still clapping in the audience.
So just before Thanksgiving, right? I got one of your Bass U sweatshirts on. I go in, do my thing, I come out and the lady stops me. I'm like, she's like, yeah, your sweatshirt. My son is the only one I ever seen wear that before. I said, oh, what's his name? I think his name was Glenn. I could be wrong. I may be wrong. But the lady recognized me inside the TD Bank with the sweatshirt on.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, yeah, Bass U. I'm like, yeah. Do you know Pete? I was like, yeah, maybe you know Pete. I don't know. The
beautiful.
Lady was like, yeah, my son. He has one too. I'm like, oh, yeah, nice, whatever.
Chef and the lady at TD Bank?
Yeah.
Two blocks later, a lady beeps at me. Like, hey!
She's stalking. Bash you. That's funny. Awesome.
Chef, you crazy fool.
With my hand out the window. I had a cigarette probably. I was smoking. But she beeped at me. Hey, bash you.
It's awesome. That was very funny. Recognizable that brand. Yeah.
That's a beautiful testimony.
Chef. Thank you, Chef. You know, we've been building this brand for 15 years, man.
Yeah, long time.
It's over 15 years, and it's taken a life of its own. Like just the shield with the bass will stand alone. Like people recognize.
Oh yeah.
And like down at ICAST, I mean, it's just it's constant. Every time you're at the boat launch, like people are coming up and thanking you for helping their fishing.
Yeah.
You know, they're watching it, they're using it.
Yeah.
And it's
Victory Hooks. Thank you for the logo.
That's cool. Well, I've had those experiences like Chef has had.
with a Bash U something on, you know, but yep. it's wrong. I'll be at a gas station pumping, and it'll be like, hey, pumping. Bash University?
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. I want to join. I play bass too. Boom, boom.
Oh, shoot.
I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I get to the point where I don't even want to explain it.
Maybe
anymore.
We should combine. Maybe we should start that.
You think? Bass and bass?
Bass and bass.
Well, a lot of people don't play bass out there. So.
But your son has started his own little posse. Tell him the story about the phone call you had the other night when Vegas
remember.
Was out on the water.
Oh, so he has. So same story. Mm-hmm. Neighborhood kids that were into other stuff, whether it was video games or another
graffiti.
Sport. Graffiti, not graffiti, but you know.
Well, let's be honest though. These kids are all looking for independence, but yep. we have a weird world we live in right now. So
right?
like as conscientious parents, like what do you let your kids do?
Helicopter.
Like, we're not dropping them off at the mall. We're not, you know what I mean? Like, so what are they going to do? So Vegas and a lot of his friends have all been like, let's meet out at the lake. And they, like a couple of them have John boats. They all meet out there. They fish, they dive in the water, like whatever. They act like,
yeah. Boys.
It
boys.
Is cool.
That's
it's a good
cool.
release.
Boys, yeah. But yeah. it's like safe. So all yeah. of us are kind of like, just go. Just
yeah.
go. So
yeah.
Mike gets call.
Yeah.
Vegas
so I get a call. Vegas is out there. I get a call from Vegas. You know, it's getting dark. You know, like.
Lost one of the girls.
Yeah. What the hell's going on? And Vegas is like, oh, we're coming in. You know, we've caught a few. It's been a good bite. And I hear his buddy Connor in the back. And I can hear it. Like, it's like he's right next to him. You know, it's a crawl dad. So the boat's this big, you know? And he's like, oh, I'm snagged. And as I'm on the phone, there's like a pause and Vegas goes, real, you got one. And hangs the phone up. And I'm like, what the hell's going on here?
And you want to go see it.
I wait like 10 minutes and Vegas calls me back. And the kid who like literally just started bass fishing.
Yeah.
Whose PB was like a 2-pounder, catches a 5.5-pounder.
Wow.
And
oh,
it's
wow,
giant.
Yeah.
And dude, he
That's
comes
so cool.
back and won't stop talking about fishing. His dad picks him up. He's making his dad talk to me about fishing.
Yeah.
Like it's just
broke the bank at Dick's.
It's like that moment, right? It's like that moment.
Yeah.
It's that fish.
Yeah,
it's
awesome.
That Ike Foundation
yeah.
tournament.
The
that dude,
not my PT doctor or whatever, but the guy who runs the place, his brother like lives on the lake.
Okay.
Yeah. And they come out and fish, and his
yeah.
kids are ate up with it.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I walk in there just wanting to do my stuff, he comes over and talks to me about fishing.
Talks about fishing. Yeah, that's great.
But it's cool, man. I'm like, you
cool.
got to bring him out to the Ike Foundation event, you know?
Yeah. That's
He'll
a great
get put
event.
Put in a boat. Oh, yeah.
My best advice, and I mean, it worked. I guess I got lucky. I don't know. But, you know, it was not like, not put the kids in jail and take them out for 8 to 10 hours. When they're 6 or 8 or 10 years
yeah.
old and, you know, dad, I just want to go home. And it's unfortunate because the dad is, he works all week. He can't wait to go bass fishing. He's been dying for this.
Yeah.
And he's got a day on the lake and he don't, you know, he just wants to go out. But the kid, you know, after, depending on his maturity level and his interest, he might only be good for an hour or two.
Right.
You
yeah.
know,
make it fun, keep it short,
make it
as long
fun.
As they want to stay out.
Let them jump boat wakes, let them go swimming,
yep.
let them, you know, do whatever they do.
It yeah. can be tough, especially when dad wants to fish.
When dad wants to fish,
and he's
it's
a young dad,
so
and he's
tough.
Yeah,
because I've been there. I'm like, dude, we've been on vacation, Thousand Islands. We're on vacation. The last 3 years, we've been going there. It's the greatest smallmouth fishery on the planet.
Yeah.
And I'm tubing all day. I'm chasing the ships up the river so I can jump those 6-foot boat wakes with the kids, you know.
And
we're swimming
until Vegas comes and crashes your vacation.
Yeah. That was
and then they
awesome.
All go fishing.
Dave, right. That was the fishing week. That was the first time, which was last summer.
They fished
that
more
they,
than two.
They that's all they wanted to do.
Wow.
Yes. They it took 3 seasons, but I don't think it was anything that I did in particular other than I didn't torture him with it.
Yeah.
It's just the maturity level. Like, right. like you got to be able to endure the time or be interested in the time when you're not getting bites and have fun with that, you know, trying to figure out the puzzle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
you can't do that at 8. At 8,
right.
you just want something pulling back
it's
every
tough.
5 seconds.
Yeah. It's
you
tough.
You know?
Yeah. When Vegas was 8, I can remember. Noon,
11:30 noon. It was he was done.
Yeah. You
know? And now it's cool to watch him go the whole day.
Which is impressive though, because we launch at 6 with those bass events.
Yeah.
So he would make it 6 hours and then at 8, 9
Yeah.
Like, yeah. At 8 noon.
Yeah.
Done.
Yep.
There's a stat they drop at ICAST. The ASA drops, Ken drops. Of course, I don't know it, but it's something along the lines of like 85% of the people fishing started before they were 12 or something like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's a big stat that they keep throwing around. And your tagline, catch them early, is such a great
hook
thing.
Hook them early.
But it's, you know, that. But the key is, you know, like you guys do with your event, you know, it's like 2 hours.
Yep.
You know, you go out, you expose them, you have fun, and then you let them go do whatever they want to do.
Make it fun.
Like Jake, but Jake, like I said, Jake, when he fished that tournament at Union, it was almost like, oh yeah, I got two big ones. I'm going to sleep now. and he just slept, you know, and I'm like, Jake, at least throw your bait out. Just drag it while you're sleeping, you know. Yeah. But now he's engaged. So it's been fun. You know, we're super excited. Talked to the BASS tournament director. We're going down to Chickamauga for the high school nationals next week. We leave Saturday. And oh man, I had the boys out yesterday on the Chesapeake, Max and Jake. Yeah. Our research is saying that we might be punching, cause it's matted vegetation. So we rigged up some 1 ounce weights. Max was awesome. He was like, what? I had like all my weights like up to 2.5 ounces.
Yeah.
He's like, 2.5 ounces.
Yeah.
He's like freaking out. Are we going to have to use that? Like they're super excited to use some
cannonball
unique,
dude.
You know, and different.
Yeah.
And, I got them both rigged up with 1 ounce weights and they were punching and punching and it's not that good on the Chesapeake. Like the bass don't, it doesn't work that well, that technique there.
Right.
They, for whatever reason, they're outside the grass there, especially this time of year, but he did turn like a bowfin or a snakehead. Max did. So he got to feel a bite, set the hook in a big, thick cheese mat. You know what I mean?
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm preparing them for, you know, what it's going to be like because we're probably going to be fishing grass. And, you know, so we went out and did a little practice and shout out to Max and Jeremy. His dad is tireless. You know, he'll, you know, he came down with us.
I'll make a prediction about that tournament. It'll be one on LiveScope.
It'll be one on Live. You think so? All right.
Every tournament.
Yeah. Right.
Name one. It is it.
But Pete, do you feel like Dave Haas might have like a voodoo doll? Like that he pokes at?
He might.
That has your face on
he
it?
He might.
Haas?
They won. Jake and Max won by 1/100th of a pound.
Wow.
Over Jake Haas's.
That's the weight of a Boogaloo
Dave. It was literally the craziest youth weigh-in I've ever seen.
Yep.
And it was for nationals.
So that's the last drop one on the scale, right? The 100th's the last one. 10th's the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who weighed in first?
Dave did. They had 8.51. Jake and Max had 8.52.
It was hard to be a spectator when you're like invested in both those teams.
Yeah.
It hurt.
Yeah.
Haas is a veteran. He should have known to have his kids weigh in after.
Haas had a good comeback though. He weighed in 20 pound
bag.
Pounds at Manasquan.
Oh, yeah.
Really good. So that was a nice comeback.
And Vegas had 21 pounds at Manasquan.
You hear that?
Unbelievable.
I've never had 21 pounds.
We were talking about it like, cause Jake and Max caught 20 pounds earlier in the year. Like how many times does 20 pounds get caught in New Jersey waters?
Squan is still fishing
three
like
times.
That?
Yeah.
Three times this year.
Three times. Twice in one day on Manasquan. It's like nuts.
Those kids are amazing.
Yeah. But these kids are definitely doing stuff that, you know, is above where they should be for their age, you know, whether it's shallow or deep or whatever, you know, they're doing stuff that we didn't do at 13 and 14. Dude, for crying out loud, we were fishing a fucking culprit worm. You know, whatever. We had two things we did.
Well, they've got good teachers.
Yeah. I mean, well, my God,
we got dropped off by our moms, by our single moms.
And you know, the information exchange wasn't there. Like, we were reading magazines that were the story was written a year ago, waiting to be published.
Right.
And you were reading that and trying to go out and duplicate it. Dude, these guys are doing it real time.
Dude, they've got the phone. They got shows. They got internet. They've got magazines. They got
YouTube.
All this.
Come home to a square meal. We came home to ramen noodles, Tang, and Lay's potato chips.
Yeah, and our information was Don Sky, for crying out loud.
Right, nutrition's better.
How good is that information? You know, we had
Don
Sky.
Was great information.
It was actually good.
That was very good.
Don Sky.
Shout out to Don Skaluski.
Is he still alive?
Last time I – South Carolina, right? Wasn't he?
I believe so.
I think so.
Good job with that too, Don.
Yeah. Beck, let's take a break. We'll take a little pee break, and then come back, and we'll do a quick –
What do you got? Some stuff coming through?
See, even Becky's a bad producer too, Brian.
Yeah.
Two.
I don't
know
what I'm doing. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah, it looks great.
We don't really have commercial breaks anymore, but we can make this work.
Well, we can have Chef will tell a story.
Kenny Huffman wanted him to sing.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah,
apparently, Chef has a beautiful voice.
Wow. All right, so
I hope that wasn't it.
Do you have something that we can put up for a little break?
Yeah, I got you.
All right, listen, hang in there. We're going to take a short little break, like literally, what's it, like a minute or two? What is it?
It's 3 minutes.
All right, we'll take a little break. We're going to take a leak. We come back, ICAST recap, and then we can get into the whole Trump thing after
that. Well, let's talk about UFOs and Sasquatch.
Yeah, well, I'll talk about that too.
Oh, the flat earthers.
Flat earthers.
Man, you guys.
Policy has always been
is this real, you guys?
And no religion.
Well, but look at
we don't talk about boring, stupid ass fish the whole
time. Listen. Hang in there. Hang in there. Three minutes.
You're not live.
We'll be right back. All right.
Do you fish for excitement? Do you fish for passion? Do you fish to get outside? Yeah! Or do you fish to win? Yeah! Abu Garcia for life.
You know, right now where we're standing, we're in Camden, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Philadelphia is right there. This is the concrete jungle. And, you know, a lot of those kids, as they grow up, they don't fish. It's interesting because they're surrounded by water. You know, the Delaware River, the Schuylkill, ponds, city park lakes. But they don't have the influence to cast, to fish, to have a rod and reel. And that became our focus, you know, is to target kids in what we call non-traditional areas, you know, urban areas, city centers, where the population's high, and let these kids have the experience. You know, it's amazing. I mean, some of the experiences we've had, whether it's Central Park in New York City, here in Camden, other parts of the country, even just casting.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable to see it, isn't it?
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
Yes.
And you know, you see these kids have this experience they've never had, and they light up, you know? The big thing, I think, for the Ike Foundation is we're not saying we want all these kids to become professional anglers.
No. It'd
be great if some of them did, but we want them to have that fishing experience because it ties them to so many other positive things. The outdoors, nature. Conservation. Ecology, you know, all these amazing things in life that maybe they wouldn't have been exposed to any other way, we're trying to help with that. So it's important. It's important for us. Yeah. We're proud of it.
I subscribe to BassU TV, and so should you.
Great place to learn about anything you want to know about bass fishing.
You get it at BassU. We got the best of the best.
I'm not just an instructor, I'm a subscriber.
I'm John Cruz, and I am a subscriber.
You can always learn, and watching BassU is definitely helps with that. It's something that I like to do, and it's definitely something that you need to do.
If I'm still learning, you should be too.
Subscribe to BassU, because you'll learn how to catch a lot more fish.
Bike Live, brought to you exclusively by Abu Garcia.
Uncle Chef.
He has an uncle heir to him.
You're up.
And we're live. We're back.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Thanks for hanging out. We are back with a new Ike Live show. Of course, this is the reunion special. It's nice to have the old crew back together.
Reunion.
Like old times. Want to remind everybody, if you're watching, I noticed a
use
lot
the code
of...
Ike Live on everything. On everything.
Use the promo code Ike Live. That's true.
You get $10 Ike off Live, a Ford 10, pickup truck.
15, 20.
Yeah. Dude, that whole code thing was always a pain in the ass.
No one can ever remember it.
And here's the other thing, and I'll be honest with you. It's
did,
why
did you
we,
say you don't remember it?
No.
It's why we have to really do any of the work. Steer away from it in the business. I don't know if Pete agrees with this or not. But
oh, here we go.
Like with Becky and I, we always steer away from companies that come in and say, you know, I use a code, you know, or whatever. Because, you know, the reality, and I think the reality over the years with this show is hardcore fans that understood the dynamics of a sponsorship and stuff, right? They would use the code. But we would get a lot of people watching, whether they, you know, whatever, and they would see Mystery Tackle Box or Dr. Squatch, right? They'd be like, oh, shit.
It works with certain things.
Right.
When it's a $7 item that you can also pick up at Walmart.
Right.
That code.
But that's my point, right?
Is crap.
We would sell them and we would make them aware of this amazing thing.
Yeah. And they'll get it at Walmart for $7. But
they'd go to Amazon 99% of the time. They'd go to freaking Amazon and get it. Right.
Yeah.
So I am not a big believer in the whole code thing. You know,
we struggled with that. Remember
the code
back in the day before. We preceded the internet. You remember that?
Yeah.
Like we get sponsorships and they would want to track sales somehow.
Right.
And we could never do it. Like, like we're doing all these articles. We're on, you know, TV when we get TV appearances.
Yeah.
There's no, and they would use that. They would leverage that against you to cut your contract.
Oh yeah.
Every time.
Bullshit. Absolute bullshit. Yeah. But anyway, if you have a question or a comment, please chime in. Dude, this I'm going to change topic, but this just came up because I was talking to somebody about an ICAST, and then he reached out to me, which is the fact that – and I'll throw it you start with you, Dave. Is bass fishing today, from a business standpoint, better or worse than it was 10 years ago?
How's he going to know?
Yeah, you're asking.
He's a fan of the sport.
All right, so – hold on, Brian. So would you say the average fan, I know more about it or less? The average fisherman, do I know more about bass fishing or less than the average guy?
More. Way more.
So let me speak for the average man. I'm not I'm not on Bass After Dark.
Oh, no, you're not following bass fishing for the last 5 years.
So I think fishing has gotten gross.
There's that sweatshirt. Hey!
There he is.
More applause.
Are you trying to bang that old broad that was looking at you? What are you doing?
We're to watch. You think he ate?
Chef, you have to model.
Oh, yeah. You got to get in front of the camera
so we can do a quick
do a
modeling.
Dance.
Show them the watch.
In case she's watching.
That is the actual sweatshirt we were talking about
there
earlier
he is.
On the show.
Put that watch out there.
Show the bling, Raul.
He said the lady at the bank liked him.
All right. So, Dave, you use the term. Use that term again. You
it's gotten gross.
Gross.
What do you mean? It was gross.
Gross.
It was gross. It was gross before the internet when people were – when guys were taking real crawl. And putting it on their line and on their guides to make it flow through the guides better. Like it just got it once guys were making money fishing, it got gross because they were selling products.
Over commercialized, you mean?
Right. Yeah. I mean,
he's sitting right here.
The thing, no, you're missing the point. Hold on.
He can hear you.
When did he ever squirt any of his products all over? Like,
if you were paying attention,
you haven't been following. Yeah, have
your lines, stuff.
All right,
the archive. Eventually, that has to come out of the archive.
If Eric can find it,
eventually it has to. But
Brian warned you.
Yeah, my point is this though, and I agree. Here's the thing: I do agree with that. It's sort of like a necessary evil, and I agree with what you're saying. But here's what pisses me off, Pete. We had this conversation before. How is bass fishing today in 2024? How's the classic worth less money? How are the payouts less? This is a good example because it was fresh on our mind. Justin Hamner won the Bassmaster Classic this year. Okay. He got invited back to his hometown and it was a Justin Hamner day. And then Bass invited him come down to Birmingham or Montgomery, wherever their office is now, and have a day at Bass. Outside of that, dude, they've done shit for him. Nothing. Hardly any PR, right? Like, no media, you know, appearances. Like, that train that was there is not there anymore.
It used to be.
So we have. It left when ESPN left.
So we have a nostalgia problem.
I mean, maybe that's what it is. I don't know. And the guys, you know, the young guys now aren't business savvy enough to know that. Knowing that, he should have went out and hired a publicist, right? He should have went out and hired his own publicist to track his own, to get his own stuff done. But the organizations don't care. You know what I mean? And I just think today, Bass Fishing is at a better place.
How much of it is YouTube?
I don't know.
They take a significant portion of that viewership. There's so many stars of Bass Fishing that don't tournament fish.
Yeah, but the organizations should have... they should be motivated, right? Because not only would they be helping Justin, the classic winner, for crying out loud.
Okay, so back then, there was Bass Fishing, and everything that happened in Bass Fishing came from BASS or FLW.
Or FLW. That's correct.
Everything.
That's correct.
How about now?
Now it's diluted, but
tremendously.
But why wouldn't Bass want to have
somebody
in house?
Yeah, but
promoting them.
But haven't they been doing that? Like I see Hamner on Bassmaster.com.
On their own site.
Yeah.
But that's that same cut of the pie that's that.
What
big,
if it's demographics?
Yeah. Okay, so does the NFL have its own website? Like, do they cover their own sport? No.
Well, they have the NFL Network.
Bass, right. But there's also ESPN and there's all those other media outlets, true media outlets that cover the sport.
The point
Bass is the sport and they cover the sport and they make it hard for, and I'm not knocking them for it, but it's hard to get.
I'm disappointed that organizations aren't investing more in the growth of the sport and then in their guys, you know?
What if we broached the topic earlier where it's his age? What if the demographics don't care about a younger guy, but if it was, say, Skeet Reese was in Bass, or if it was Gerald Swindle?
They care less.
But the base, the actual audience that's tuning in would care more. I don't know. I'm spitballing.
Here's another example. And
you're asking the wrong guy.
What sport, right? In what sport or even entertainment business do you go to in an event and not be able to purchase merchandise from the athletes or the singers or performers, right?
Like,
Chef,
got
you
it.
Go to a concert. Yep. You go to what? What's your favorite band?
Hardy.
Men. Metallica.
Metallica. Right. You go to a Metallica concert. Dude, you've got shirts and hats and why can't you go to a Bassmaster event? All you can get is a Bassmaster t-shirt. I want a Justin Hamner t-shirt. You just won the classic, cried out loud. I want a Swindle shirt. I want, you know.
I get it.
Why is that not provided? Like,
James.
It's crazy.
No, you're right.
It's crazy. I want a Vegas the Hammer hat.
So, but hold on. Like, all right. So I guarantee you Vegas the Hammer would sell more hats than Justin Hamler would sell socks. All right. But my point is, like, how many people know? I never heard of this kid until you said it. I didn't even know who won the classic. I'm going to be honest with you. Brian was right. You shouldn't ask me.
Right.
But the point is, like, the average guy doesn't know who Justin Hamler is that goes out and tries to hook a fish in the face.
Right. Well, maybe that's part of the problem. I don't know.
Interesting.
Got sidetracked.
Sorry.
But to Dave's point, the point right there. It used to be whoever won the classic, that was the Super Bowl of bass fishing. Yeah. It was like the highest thing, like the accolades, the name. It was like just thrown everywhere.
Yeah.
Who's Justin Hamner? And I'm not saying that to be mean.
I'm not either. I'm not trying to disrespect.
Where did we lose that's the guy that won the Super Bowl?
I think Brian's point's a very valid one. Is like things that happen
tremendously
now, like they're gone. Instantly. Like, you used to win a Bassmaster tournament and you could celebrate that you were the guy for a month, 2 months to the next one, to the next article came out. Now it's gone. YouTube's out, you know, with their next thing. You got the YouTube stars. They're just swarming.
But that's because there's a million points of information coming in.
Yeah.
Same thing in politics. Like things that used to stick and ruin someone.
Yeah.
It's forgotten about because a day later someone did something worse and there's a million points of information coming in.
And it's happening at lightning speed.
Yeah. It's the information war, right?
Like,
yeah.
But we also churn through anglers. Let's be honest. Yeah. We bring them in as quick as we toss them right back out.
Turnover in sport. All sports.
Mike, I'm looking at Jake, who is now invested in this sport. Dude, he knows who Jay Securit is.
Yeah.
Right? He's watching. He's fascinated with Taku Ito.
Yeah.
Like, mainly because I texted him.
The fuzzy dice.
I congratulated him on the dice thing. Yeah. And he texted me back.
Live, brought to you exclusively by Abu Garcia.
He's like, why'd I get used as a curse word?
This is what I miss, the unstructured start of a show where Becky tells everyone to be quiet and we're talking right over the intro, which I love. Folks at home, how you doing tonight? Hope you're having a wonderful evening. I know we are. It is Sunday and the crew's back together. Man. Dude, this is like old school shit going on. Let me intro the room for you real quick as people are tuning in. Sitting to my right, you know him, the one and only Dean of the Bash University, a.k.a. Pete Glusick.
That's a good a.k.a.
Dude, you've got a lot of nicknames. You've acquired a lot of nicknames over the years.
Did you say nicknames?
Nicknames.
Yep.
Have you...
I guess so, but there's no doubt that the fame is all about falling in the water.
Dude. I mean, anywhere you go.
It's like
everywhere. So
all I cast long about once an hour.
I know.
Somebody replays it for me.
So I'll give you the best example, and then I want to keep intro in the room real quick. But so we've made connection with this company and they got this great product, and legitimately they're from China. And so, you know, the one guy knows fishing, but the other couple people straight from China really don't know fishing. And we showed up for a meeting at ICAST with them and your name came up and the one guy from China was like, the guy that fall in.
No.
Yeah. Yes!
Come on.
I'm not kidding you.
It made it to China?
Or he saw it somehow. He had enough.
It went to China.
Probably.
Pete, you're huge in China.
So you're big
Pete,
in China,
you're giant. Dude. You're the guy that far out of the boat.
Yeah, you're far out of the boat. Right. You did far out of the boat.
Godzilla.
Sitting to my left, and this is a very Dave and I were doing this hypothesis on how this would affect the introduction. And I don't know. Well, how do I do this, Dave? So sitting to my left, the one and only Brian the Carpenter. But he's in a weird spot, dude.
It's the first time in 10 years of doing this that I've got to sit here. I mean, I was allowed to sit here for like 10, 20 minutes at a time, but I'm staying here the whole show.
Feels nice, doesn't
Unless
it?
Vegas comes up, then I get bumped.
Well, here's the nice thing about
we're
it.
Becky.
This was actually when Becky was setting everything up here a couple hours ago. We're like, man, is Brian, we actually said this. Is Brian going to be mad that he's not? I'm like, it's not going to be bad. I'm like, dude.
Hell no.
Especially now with your new podcast. You're working your ass off there. I thought this would be nice to just – you could just sit and whatever.
Like you guys did like for 10 years. For 10 just years. Show up and goof off.
Make fun of you.
Not read the notes.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what I plan on doing.
Huffy and Van jokes. You know, just sit here. That's it.
And like Pete, I got all my nicknames from, you know, all my mistakes.
Yeah, all your mistakes. But but the biggest nickname you've acquired, and I do want to tell this story. I think it's been told on the show before. But when we gave Brian the Carpenter his name, you did not like it in the beginning. And you did not like it.
Me? No.
Yeah, you didn't like it. You thought it was terrible.
Yeah.
The Carpenter.
Yeah. But Jesus was a carpenter.
That's right.
You're a carpenter. It's a good name.
He came to me in a dream and said it's going to be all right.
Well, so do you have regrets about accepting that name 10 years ago?
No,
because you're known. I mean, people know you. They don't even maybe necessarily know your actual name's Brian.
Even though they don't know my last name.
And they don't know your last name.
And that's good.
That is good.
Yeah.
That is good.
Yeah.
Sitting to Brian's left in his normal spot. Dave, I like you in that spot. It's a good spot for you.
It's not my handsome side, though.
Nah.
Like, if I was on Pete's side, I think I would look better.
Yeah, but Pete's couch sinks in a little bit.
Well, no, it's everyone has a good side. Like, yeah. The side I got to show here, I feel like I'm in, an extra gravy commercial, like a fucking Old Country Buffet or something. Like, I'm waiting for, mashed potatoes. Like, all the mashed potatoes. There I am. Like, hey, I'm on the side. Which I was on that side.
Sitting in his normal chair, Dave Brodzik, a.k.a. Stormtrooper, a.k.a. Worf. Back in the studio.
Hello, everyone.
Yes. And then, of course, we've got our producers tonight. We've got a very special guest sitting to the right of Becky and joining us as the assistant producer.
And Uber driver.
And Uber driver.
Airport shuttle.
And airport shuttle. And
all-around great guy.
All-around great guy. And
Miller Lite Pro Staff.
Miller Lite Pro Staff. And answering some of the...
Sponsor needed.
Yeah. And answering some of the IM stuff. We've got Chef. Joining us tonight as executive producer.
The only one that got an applause tonight, Chef.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Because we threw him into this role.
He's like Johnny Appleseed. You know, remember Johnny go around sprinkling the apple seeds?
Yeah.
He just goes around handing out Miller Lights to everybody.
I love it.
He always dries the bottle off with a rag.
Nice, clean, shiny bottle.
Always.
Dry. And last, but 100% Pete, not least, producing the show tonight, we have Miss Rebecca.
Hi.
How you doing tonight, Beck?
I'm good.
Okay. Who are you wearing tonight? What do you got on? Who's the designer?
Yeah, step back. Can we get a full shot?
I know. Business on the
no
top.
Side boob.
John's on the bottom. No, I got some fabulous turquoise when we were in Colorado.
And that's on your neck?
From an Indian reservation, graveyard, something?
Yeah. Okay. Like that.
But here's my question.
Pilfered from the bones of Pocahontas.
That would be awesome.
Why would turquoise be from the bones of Pocahontas?
I don't know. Shine them up.
Fancy-ass bones.
They shine them up.
My question is, turquoise, I always assume, was blue.
What?
And your necklace is green. How is that possible?
Yeah, I don't know. Because I guess it can go in all different gradations of blue-green to green. I have
is
lime
that what it
green.
Is?
I have, natural mm-hmm. lime green. Yeah, there's all different kinds.
I just assumed turquoise was blue.
Like a turquoise color.
Yeah.
Yeah. The actual stone can have very – well, it's
– so it's emerald.
Look that up. It's some sort of chemical reaction.
All right.
Okay.
That's crazy.
There you have it, guys. Before we start the show, as we usually do, I want to give a shout-out to our armed forces, men and women, serving veterans. Thank you for what you do. It is 100% a crazy world. Look at Dave's shirt. This is a crazy world. We live it. So thank you guys. Also, policemen, firemen, Pete, EMTs, all those guys that do all that stuff. Thank you guys very much. We appreciate it.
Toll bridge workers.
Yes. Toll bridge workers that charge $15 to get through. That's crazy. That's insane.
That was crazy.
Here's the great thing, Pete. Tonight, normally you see Brian, one of the 10 years of notes, and did such a good job over the years of preparing notes and having topics and guests. Look at this, Dave. No notes.
Freeform.
We're freestyling tonight, and this is a true catch-up show, a true reunion show to just, get back together. And the other thing is, Dave, I've switched formats of the show, and I do a lot of these one-on-one podcasts.
Yeah, I've looked at them.
People like them. People like them. You know, people appreciate them.
People seem to really like them.
But every show, not one – not five, but everyone I've done, we have those comments that come up either during the show or at the end. And it's God, we missed the crew. God, we missed the old show. So that means something. I mean, that's saying something to, listen, there's some, and Brian, Bass After Dark, I'm not including that in this. There's some god awful podcast. There's some god awful fishing related podcast.
Yeah.
Most out right now. And when I look back on it, Pete, we gave a lot. We gave really good quality work in those 10 years. I might be biased, but I think we did.
I think we did a lot. I mean, is it 10? It's 10 full
10
years, right?
Yeah, now it's 10. Last year we said it was 10. It was actually 9 and 3/4.
Eight.
It's actually 7. It's actually 10 this year.
Yeah.
10 years.
I mean, it was pretty monumental stuff. People still talk about it. I get comments all the time about that. You know, oh man, we miss seeing you guys.
What year did Randy Howe win the Classic? 13.
We got to Google this. That sounds about
right.
Is
that the first show?
That was the first show.
Yeah.
Second show.
It was one of the first shows.
The second show.
And Dave, do you remember, like, you know how when you do the podcast, like, it took us a year. Be honest.
You guys didn't let me on the first, like, four or five.
Well, you
shows.
Weren't on the first. So,
nah. Nah.
So
we, he wasn't in the plans in the beginning.
So we.
And you realized no one laughed at any of your stuff.
Right. Well, we're not funny at all. I knew that from the beginning.
That's a fact.
I knew that from the beginning. But we, Dave, Randy gets on. And I love Randy. Shout out to Randy Howe. Shout out to Robin Howe, the Thurstons.
Especially Robin.
Yeah.
Mostly Robin.
Yeah, mostly Robin. Dude, Randy got on and literally controlled the flow of the podcast. And he talks a lot anyway.
Yeah. Dude, he just, it was the Randy Howe monologue for,
you couldn't even, you know how like.
We didn't know how to do it.
Yeah, like right now we're looking at each other. So we're judging off clues with our facial expressions and shit. And
it was a phone call.
Dude, it was a phone. Was it a phone call?
It was a phone call.
Dude, we just, it was like an hour of just like stepping back. Like
no one knew what to do.
Yeah. No one knew what to do.
I remember on the first one, like right before it started, you took a breath like a kid from West Virginia at a spelling bee competition, dude. Like you were just like, welcome to the guy. I remember that.
M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's but it was fun because we got to, you know, learn a lot. We got to create a format that I think people enjoyed, you know? Dude, good, right?
Woo.
Good. Real tasty, quick, right? This is perfect timing. Real quick, we're beer of the night, guys. If you're watching, Beck, can you zoom in? You know how to zoom in?
Nope.
You can't zoom in.
I can't do that with this.
You can't do that with one. Okay, anyway.
The
word.
Old production stuff, I have all these gorgeous cameras.
Can't do it now. Okay. We are drinking. A lot of us, we got Miller Lights going around, but also, Chef, grab one. And we'll let Becky get a little close up of that. But got a nice little beer here.
Yeah.
Working with a local brewery, Neck of the Woods Brewing. And
brewery.
And it's a nice little, Dave, describe this one for you, because you're a beer head. Describe this. How would you describe it?
It's a hoppy, light, drinkable pale ale.
Drinkable.
I would call it's more of a pale ale. IPA. They have it listed as an IPA. See, for me, it's more of like it's more in the pale ale range.
Yeah,
but it's hoppy.
You can drink them.
It's hoppy.
Not like you can drink one.
It's delicious.
Your toast. So
they did a great job.
Definitely, if you're in the tri-state area, keep your eye out for it. Stay in the Boat, Ike, Neck of the Woods Brewing. Part of the proceeds from every beer you buy goes to the Ike Foundation. That's so cool, dude. That's so awesome. Cool. You know what an awesome.
When's the next one coming out?
I don't know. I honestly had this thought. With the success of this one, and I had this thought where I really want to start networking with some other beer companies. You know, of course, we got Chuck Garrity, friends, owner of Death of Fox, and just start maybe freestyling around and see if we can do limited releases with a lot of different beer companies. You know, dude, why not get into whiskey? Why not get into hard liquor, vodka, Pete, Captain Morgan's? We can do a stay in the boat, Captain.
Stay in the boat, wrong.
Stay in the boat. F you dog.
Ass
up.
No! F you dog, Al. Beck, write that one down.
What about an ass up IPA?
Ass up IPA is a good one. I like that one. So, honest question. This is for Dave or Brian, because this is about Pete, so I can't ask
you. You're not here right now.
10 years of Ike Live. Beck, you can answer this.
What
as
did
well.
You hate most about Pete?
No.
Oh.
Is that the question? 10 years of our
we could go around the room. What do we hate most about each other?
Why did I list him as the co-host?
No, sorry. No, they're all interrupting me. I'm trying to say something.
Being harsh.
Sorry.
They're being harsh.
They're getting ready to pounce.
10 years.
Warming up.
10 years of Ike Live. And look what's over there. Pete, hold your coffee up real quick. Pete's got his coffee. How many handles of Captain Morgan's have we cut through in 10 years with Pete as the co-host? Come on, Dave. Give me a number.
I like how he nicely said we. It was royal because there's no we in Pete's consumption.
I said we because I feel like over the years.
Come on, we're a team, Becky.
How many shows we do?
130? One for all for 19? One. Come on.
Yeah, so probably what do we average? 12 shows a year, 15 shows a year, right? Let's say 15.
Yeah, early on we just did one a
60.
Month. 60. So we had 12.
60.
12 a year.
So 120 shows.
Yeah, 50, 60 handles.
50 or 60 handles cut Morgan's. Yep. And that's the big bottle. That's the what's the liter on a handle? It's Jeff, you know?
6 a year, Pete.
6 a year.
What's the liter?
Is it that's a lot.
250?
Which it's more than that, but that, you know.
Yeah. Come on. You got your consumed cases of IPA that were consumed by this show.
I'm not ashamed of
but
that.
But we overtly drink our stuff, dude. We're not the history teacher taking a swig of mouthwash in the 80s. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
I drink coffee from my coffee cup. I drink rum from my coffee
cup. Everything.
Drinks water from it.
Keep it same. Yeah. I like that. For those of you watching, I want to remind you that the Ike Live Show is brought to you by Abu Garcia. We just got back from ICAST. Pete, we're going to be catching up on ICAST later, but head over to abugarcia.com. Check out the brand new Ike Series 3.0 rods and reels just launched. Dude, I'm happy to say.
3.0?
Yeah, 3.0 series just launched at ICAST. And I convinced them to once again do the Travel Series rods. That was a struggle because they didn't want to do them. And really? I'm like, dude, you got to do those. They're great.
I still use them. That rod in my tractor at work. I have a stop that I go to out in Robbinsville. Yeah. They have this lake behind there.
Yeah.
And I keep it in work.
Dude, it's great.
Yeah. So nice at the airport.
Right in the overhead, you know, in the closet. Sometimes the stewardess is like, oh, but
it's like 2.5 feet, that case.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's about it, man.
It's good.
You can put it anywhere.
Yep. And it has two tips. Everybody loves two tips. You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
Better than one.
Also brought to you by the Ike Foundation. Head over to IkeFoundation.org. Beck, a lot of good stuff happening over there. We had a kids tournament a few weeks ago. Went good. Got a lot of kids coming out now. I love the enthusiasm I'm seeing. Kids that are getting into fishing that want to mix competition in. Mm-hmm. It's cool to see that. So yep. It's pretty awesome.
We still have one more in September.
Okay.
Yep. And the kayak tournament's coming up. We're going to be on the Upper Susquehanna.
That's oh,
right. As well.
Not knock this year?
No.
Upper Susky.
Yeah. Upper Susky. They actually catch some fish.
When's the, that's Cooper or Newton? The last.
Cooper.
Cooper. In September, right?
We're supposed to be Cooper.
When's the kayak
event?
I mean,
we all know how Gloucester.
Mid-September? Mid-September? Late September on the kayak event?
Late.
Late September.
Almost
positive. What's the official launch going to be?
So you can, basically any public boat ramp from like Harrisburg up to the split, you know, where the two branches split. That's a lot of – that's a couple – probably 150 river miles.
So that campground will be the cutoff?
That campground will be the last public ramp you can
Because that's where – okay.
That's
all right, right. Got it.
Yeah, because we're going to follow Bassmaster rules. Bassmaster okay. is there next week. I'm actually leaving Tuesday for it.
Oh, cool.
For the Upper Susquehanna.
What's the water – what's the water levels like up there?
Right now, the water level in the Upper Susquehanna is so low. It's literally the lowest that guys are, you know, putting on their social media. It's the lowest they've ever seen it in their life, you know. So super low, not a lot of rain.
Everyone's
going to
be down.
I mean.
They're paying for gold.
It's interesting because the Champlain, we got 3 inches of rain when we were up there for the Toyota.
Yeah.
And that lake came up 2 feet.
Right.
I guess that
possible.
Storm was north of the Susquehanna watershed, maybe?
It had to be. Because that's a Hudson River watershed, right?
Pete, everything's a balance.
Yeah. Well, it goes out the top and comes out the bottom. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we just got 3 inches of rain on us.
Wow.
I mean, it was flat pouring. You couldn't drive more than 40 miles an hour.
That's crazy.
It was coming down so hard.
He could.
I wonder if, but these are real isolated storms, I guess, this time of year.
Yeah.
But I couldn't believe Champlain. Champlain's 150 miles long. It's 10 miles wide, and it came up this much.
Yeah.
Overnight.
That's wild.
I couldn't believe it.
That's wild.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, 3 inches, right? You got 3 inches of rain dump on it, but then you got the Adirondacks and all that watershed.
All the creeks.
Just comes right into the lake.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe how fast it came up overnight. It was pretty crazy. I saw creeks running muddy.
How much it changed the bite?
Well, I think it caused the tournament to be won through one of the cut-throughs. So I think it changed it extremely dramatically. Like, the exit hole for, Mallet's Bay, Outer Mallet's Bay, the flow increased, and.
Like a magnet. Yeah. Small amount of.
Yeah, but no, cause that Vermont water, there's not much for that to escape. Mallet's is a primary area where all those mallets.
It's a giant area.
Yeah.
And you got a hole that's
that big.
As wide as a bass boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
And they showed a video. Of got you know the camera boat there, and there's 10 boats in that cut through and
White Rock.
This is Mallet's Bay.
Mallet's Bay. It sets up just like it though.
Every minute, exactly. Every second, somebody had a fish on. Crazy.
Burlington.
Yeah.
I fished a tournament there when it was like that, like 25, 30 years ago in the nation, the old federation. And we were out, you could just walk across the smallmouth. And I've gone back there every year to check on it. Because it's out of the way of where I normally fish.
Well, this year,
I didn't check. I didn't look.
The year that I won my first elite, which was September of 98.
We were at a Mallet's Bay in that tournament, right?
September 98. Yeah, we were at a Mallet's Bay.
Yeah.
And David Fritz came in third in that tournament, fishing
that cut?
Exact spot.
Wow.
Crazy, right?
What were the weights? What were the
weights? The weights? One you fished were blowout.
I've never seen weights that high. I mean,
dudes had 20 pounds a day and came in like 10th.
Yep.
Those rock outlets are the only place up there I ever really got smallmouth on crankbaits.
Right.
I can't think of anywhere else where I've really ever done well where I'd be like confident.
There's a lot of fish love that current.
Yeah. You know? So the current increased and all the cut throughs, that particular cut through just dominated the tournament. The dude had a 22-pound bag of smallmouth, you know, and
crazy.
It changed things. I think some guys struggled to catch them a little bit because it probably moved their fish around. I know one of the areas, my primary area, this is the most amazing thing. I pulled up and I was fishing
Pete's Rock
Creek discharges and it was clear and it was running
Pete's
hard.
Clear discharge.
And I started catching them right away. And while I was fishing, like 45 minutes into fishing, it turned mud.
Wow. It went from clear to mud.
It went from clear to mud. Like the delay was about 12 hours for the mud to get down.
Right.
And then the mud just washed over all the grass and
killed everything.
And that was it. That was it for that area for me.
Right.
Time to go.
It was crazy how fast it happened.
It's crazy.
But the weights were monstrous. 19 pounds was 45th place after day one. And here's the other thing. Everybody wants to say forward facing. I'd say the majority of those bags were not
right
fishing that way.
Just fishing.
And a lot of the forward facing guys.
That's because they were in one spot and they were on them.
In some cases, a lot of those guys were forward facing and didn't make the cut.
Yeah. But
coming in with 17, 18 pounds.
But first, second forward facing. Probably third.
Yeah. First, I guess so. I mean, he was fishing the cut through, man. You know? Like
in the write up, it said he was using forward facing.
I guess, you know, but would it have mattered that much, you
right,
know?
Right.
Because you're fishing those sidewalls. I mean, the fish are just stacked up like cordwood in there.
Right.
You know, I'll give you that. Yeah. I'll argue that.
He was using forward facing. I'm sure he has a prototype coming out next week.
Oh,
come
yeah.
On.
Prototype jig head minnow coming out next week. Special.
But there was some forward facing stuff going on out there that was like, how guys are using it. It's just. It's crazy.
It's your intern.
Yeah.
How are you with it? How are you learning it?
I just time. I keep working on it. Like my kids are going to the national championship, and they caught their winning fish off of it. You know, Max caught it. You know, he spied two and threw his jig in there and caught a fish that wound up, you know, winning that tournament for him.
Yeah.
You know, so I keep working at it and keep studying it. I'm way more effective this year than I was last year.
I will tell you this, dude, when this whole madness started, you know, and we had Randy Bockett on the show, of course, you know, Brian, you had Randy Bockett and Ben Milliken on your show. That was
their show.
That was strange.
That was two dudes pointing.
Oh,
Roman
yeah.
candles at each other.
Yeah. But I will say this.
Brian, can you just wave real quick? Because someone's super confused over on YouTube asking where you are. Brian's on the couch.
Brian's on the couch. You're blending in too much to the couch.
I'm so exhausted, dude. I want to blend in more.
I know.
I'm like about to put my feet up.
But here's the thing. When Randy first started coming out with all his, you know.
Blockisms?
Yeah. His talk of it's the devil and it's the worst and it's. You know, no, literally, it's a cheap box. I'm trying to think of some of the terms.
Cheap box.
It's a cheap box.
Spotlighting,
like all these terms. It's evil. It's
scoper.
When he first started saying that a few years ago, call it 2-3 years ago, I was like, dude, Randy's going
Did
a little.
Did he say it that long ago?
Oh, yeah.
A couple of years ago he started. And when it first started, I was kind of like, man, Randy's gone a little overboard. You know, like maybe he's getting a little crazy here. But, dude, I can honestly sit here and tell you that I'm less shocked by what he's saying now. I'm more understanding of his thought pattern.
Yeah, Randy's a truther.
You know, I definitely am more understanding his thoughts on it.
I mean, you guys are just a few years away from a full video game screen that has distance and trajectory.
Oh, yeah, it's coming.
You're not far away.
No, it's coming. I mean, it's just getting far removed from actually fishing to me.
No, it'll be hunting.
Casting into the unknown, you know, the hunt, the chase, you know.
Yeah.
Just getting away from that. But anyway, I don't want to make this forward-facing sonar show. It could very easily. I see the comments coming up. If you're watching, if you have a question or comment, send them through. I know Becky's monitoring the calls, and Chef is once in a while. He looks over there and laughs at himself.
I have a gift.
You have a gift.
I have a gift that this was.
I was a gift.
Peter, what? You have a gift.
You mean a gift, like one of those little emoji things? A gift?
No, a gift.
Gift
that I would like to give
with a T.
You need to pass this down because this was going to be my.
It's going right past me.
My costume.
He's looking at you.
Okay. Oh, all right.
And I want to pass this all the way down.
I'll take it.
When was this costume gonna
take this gift?
Is this mashed potatoes?
Oh, wow. Body.
There's multiple gifts.
Oh. I was supposed to be Dave for the last show where we were dressed up as
Halloween.
Yeah, the Halloween special.
This is a good gift.
Oh, it's an amazing gift, dude. Come on.
Is that a smock? What is that?
Like a,
is that a poncho?
It's a MAGA apron.
Yeah.
Jeez, what else we got here, dude?
Oh, the pants too?
No, please tell me these are pants.
No.
Oh, all right.
That's a totally different style. Look at the size of the eagle.
Dave, can you go please put them on?
Oh, I will. I'll use this one now, right here, dude. That is amazing.
Pete went and got this.
I know.
I know.
Man.
They didn't show up in time for the show.
But here's what I want to say. These might be
awesome.
You might reconsider keeping these. Is that a collector's item now?
It might be.
Because
it might have value.
I get to choose which one you take back. At least if you're gonna Indian give me, dude, I gotta at least.
It's all you, man.
They're good shirts, man.
Oh, dude. All the above. Man.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's cool.
Back to Champlain real quick.
Yeah.
I saw there was a derb there over the weekend.
Yeah.
I guess yesterday.
Yep.
And it was like 24, 24, 23, 22. Green ones.
Was it all green?
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
The green ones were real active.
Out of tie.
I mean, out of tie. Okay, interesting. A lot of the guys that I was talking to were saying that last time the elites were there, nobody ran the tie. And everybody's kind of, you know, thinking about making the move.
Right.
But, you know, I don't go but they were effective. I think that rising water and that extra current, that really helped that largemouth bike.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be cool to see what you guys are doing.
It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. All right. This is a catch up show. We'll start on the left. Dave, we talked a little bit.
Can you hold that thought?
Sure.
We have a very upset person on Facebook.
No.
Garrett on Facebook really wants to know if you have fished the Navasink River or its tributaries.
Garrett, Navasink.
Where is that?
That name sounds familiar.
Hold on.
I don't know.
Indian.
Just wait. 20,000 comments.
I think it's in like northwestern Appalachia.
I bet you probably find it. I don't know, dude.
Actually, it kind of rings a bell, but I can't place the Navasink. Have you?
I have no... No, doesn't ring a bell.
Navasink.
I would say no, Beck.
Navasink River?
Yeah.
Sounds like Connecticut. They have a lot of stuff like that up there.
No, I feel like
every estuary in New Jersey.
Like he commented somewhere in the mix.
Jersey,
it is.
I get them all in one.
Oh, yeah. It's in New Jersey.
Yeah.
I don't know where it is.
Oh, that's beautiful, Dave.
Monmouth County.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah, it says New Jersey.
How about that?
You got a little extra room in there.
Screenshot that, bro. No on the Navasink, but now that I know it's in New Jersey.
Well, what about
it? Get a look. Yeah. If you're still watching, let us know about it.
8 miles long.
8 miles long. Okay. Well, that's pretty big.
Places got them?
Places got them. Dave, we'll play a little catch up.
Yeah.
How's everything been? How's the family? How's work? How's I talked to you a little bit. You have fished recently.
Yes. Yesterday.
Exciting to hear that.
What?
And the kayak.
Yeah. On purpose?
Well, yeah. It wasn't accidental.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, Brian DeCarpenter and Pete, if you follow Dave, I see posts every once in a while from Dave of this amazing garden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And posts? I asked Dave about it today.
Mel.
Post. Yeah. Mel.
Oh.
Yeah.
I got you.
And Dave told me he's running out of room. And I said, he's out of room.
Oh, he's out of room.
And I said,
Dave, do you want to be my neighbor?
Well, that's the only solution. You got to move. You know, you got to get some. Got to get some property somewhere else.
Dude. Yeah, no. When the kids finally do leave, we're probably going to upstate New York.
Upstate New York
or Vermont. Yeah,
we're going up. Yeah, you guys are going north.
We saw a place in Ticonderoga right on the water that man, like, but the problem was, like, it's considered seasonal, so we couldn't take out, like, a second home mortgage on it. It had to be a cash purchase because banks – or we could have took out, like, a home – we could have, like, got, like, you know, a home equity, like, you know, took equity out of the house.
Right.
But the thing was, it happened so quickly. You needed to have the money, like, right then and there. It was gone.
Right.
But, yeah, we're going up.
It's beautiful. It'll be great.
Wow. Dumbest pass in the country.
Winters will be cold, but – and you'll have to deal with a little bit of this. But you know.
What's that?
Yeah, Ticonderoga. They have a little bit of like gene pool problems up there.
Oh, really?
Short arms like dinosaurs.
Well, you got to figure, Pete. Like it's a limited pool of genetics, right? Like, not a lot of people live up there.
Oh, boy.
And some of the genetics are a little kinked.
This is shocking.
I would totally go north.
T Rex. Yeah.
All these people that's actually funny because you were talking about Florida for so long.
No, Florida's that fuck Florida.
I thought you were going.
That's I'm shot.
No,
I thought that's where you're going.
Every time I go south and I'm in that heat, I'm like, nope, Mike, you'll never get me to go south.
Jersey was hotter than Florida.
I will go north.
Upstate New York's gorgeous.
We feel home there, man.
Yeah.
So getting caught up. Family's great. David's going into 10th grade. Madison's going into 9th grade. He's getting gigantic. You know, he's still wrestling, and he's just started doing boxing and jiu-jitsu.
Wow.
He wanted to do that. I mean, he didn't do football. Awesome. He's skipping football this year.
Yeah.
Good.
And he's,
are we going to have a UFC fighter on our hands here?
Well, he hasn't been punched in the face yet, you know, so we'll see what happens, you know. Like, when you get hit, you know, it changes your inspiration and you taste your own blood going down your mouth.
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone's great. Mel's great. The house, you know, the garden is actually exactly where I want it. Now that I saw your sauna. I absolutely know where I can put that. Like I think that's next.
Yeah. What do you have? We did put that together ourselves.
We did. You built it yourself.
People won't believe it watching, but we actually did put it together.
No, I know. I have a place exactly for it, dude. Like I'm thinking about it.
It was like Blinken Logs, wasn't it?
What you put
together? Yeah. Yeah, once a circle.
No, he's got one.
Yeah.
Like they click together.
Yeah. Basically. It's like Blinken Logs for adults. Yeah.
We were in it today.
Yeah.
Because I read that apparently you can, I guess, ward off
evil spirits.
That too. Alzheimer's. They say that like sauna use a couple times a week actually is so good for the brain.
Yeah. And you know, like there's this whole heat shock protein thing. But I saw some muscle guys who are doctors talk about that too, that the amount of heat shock proteins that you get from that are so infinitesimal that it doesn't help. I don't know.
I just saw a guy shit on that the other day.
I want to get my money's worth.
No, I was all for it. Then this one guy I liked had to go and shit on it, dude. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know. He's actually a real doctor.
Infinitesimal.
Good word.
But listen, if anything
like best
can
word
happen,
I've ever heard Dave
pretty,
use.
Pretty freaking good.
If I could do anything to like not lose my mind, I'm in.
Yeah.
Because I definitely drink.
Turn off the TV.
Yeah.
I don't watch TV.
Well, I said this before on the show, but I chewed on lead split shot when I was a kid, and I still think I'm okay.
Yeah.
That's questionable.
We still do that.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I think about all the plastic straws I used to just chew on endlessly.
Were you supposed to do that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but think about our kids. Like all those dishwasher things are like in plastic. Now they're like, oh, there's plastic on all your dishes. Like the amount of plastic that's in our
intestines. That was probably a bad idea.
Yeah. Our kids are way more screwed than us.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to turn this into a whole, because I could start right now, start talking about the 80s and how awesome we had it compared to these poor bastards. You know, like, I don't know.
Isn't it great, though? Every generation says that.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know,
like, our parents are saying that about us, and then we're saying that about our kids. Our kids will say that about their kids.
So there's a funny Instagram channel I subscribe to called Growing Up in the 80s. I highly recommend it for anyone who is a, you know, Gen X or all of us. Like, and it the clothes now. Actually, they just showed someone, they just showed a video in 85 of Seaside Heights Boardwalk.
Yeah.
And it's what the kids are wearing right now.
Oh, yeah.
The girls
back.
Are wearing like those Suzanne Summer workout pants that are just barely below their ass cheeks.
Lady W.
The floral stuff's back in for the boys. You know, like it's all coming back. The mullets are coming back.
The mullets are back.
Mullets? The big glasses?
But not just mullets. Like,
now? No, because they've been broccoli for like the last six, 8 years.
So it's not, it's broccoli not, heads. It wasn't the Brian mullet. It wasn't like the Joe Dirt mullet. It is more like a real glorious, like, drummer of like Van Halen.
Glorious.
Mullet. It's feathered. It's feathered. It's tapered. And it's still coming out here in the front, which absolutely makes feathered me insane. But
I like that better than the broccoli.
Jake is studying the mullet.
Nah.
He's studying that. He's got that. He's thinking about getting that.
I was sitting behind a kid today in church, had a glorious mullet, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
I did hear that.
A lot of changes happened.
Yeah, a lot of changes happened.
Dave, I wasn't there because I was coming back from Florida, but sat next to Dave in church a couple times recently.
Really?
Wow. Oh, yeah, we go to True North.
True North?
Yeah.
The Botanowitzes go there, don't they?
I don't know. There's so many different services, you don't know.
Did Junior go to True North?
What, I don't know, but I heard that church actually just bought the old Sears
in
Vineland, too.
They did.
Yeah.
They're going to reopen Sears Roebuck & Co.? Yes!
No.
Oh.
They probably get like about
souls for the Lord.
They probably get about 1,000 people a Sunday between their 3 or 4 sessions. Mm. Yeah.
They don't do interpretive dance, though.
I don't even know what that is.
Okay, good. Then if you don't know what it is.
What's that, like a conga line?
No speaking in tongues yet either.
Nah. I don't know. It's good. The interpretive dance stuff freaks
me out. I grew up with that.
I know.
I would love to see that again someday.
Dude, I didn't even know. I live right by where he went. Like when we weren't allowed to hang out with him, he went to a place like right by where I lived. No, I mean like for that time you went there, not like indefinitely. We weren't
across
like
the street from the perpetuity, but banned from hanging with you.
Why were you banned? Why were you banned?
I said we weren't banned. I was saying we weren't.
Okay.
I was just saying I didn't know I lived by that place.
He was banned, but we weren't.
I was banned from bringing.
I miss you, bro.
Let me tell you something right now. His stepdad was 1,000% right. When I started figuring out Jesus and God, I immediately realized that the people from the parents from Footloose were 100% correct.
You know? From Footloose?
Yes.
What?
All you young people,
band and dancing,
rewatch it.
Bring it back to the 80s. Somebody just brought up the Trapper Keeper. Does anyone remember
what
the image was on their Trapper Keeper? Mine is totally the unicorn with the rainbow.
Yeah, but
purple background.
Yeah, but they also had the Trapper Keepers that you could insert your own images as well.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember, this is what I remember about Trapper Keepers. Dave will back me up on this one. Brian, too. They had the Trapper Keepers that we used to do our graffiti. You would graffiti. But and then you could stick it in the underneath of the Trapper Keeper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you know, that's I had all my little art, you know, burners, little Ike burners and tags
My Trapper Keeper was more like wishful thinking on my mom's part when she would about to buy me one every year, like mandated. All I did was use that round thing, like to pinch the calluses on my hand from freestyling. I would like open it up and like pinch my calluses on those like little teeth, like in between the round thing. And I would like lift the thing with it.
Well, I'm sorry, Salfin. You had a Lambo. I had a unicorn. Yep. I don't know what that
is. I had like the
I don't
shopping
remember.
Bag, the brown paper bag.
Oh, yeah. No, that was for the book covers. You would use the
I
brown
did that
paper.
For my
oh,
Trapper
yeah.
Keeper
oh, yeah.
Too.
WF Deal said that he had the blank Trapper Keeper.
Blank
Those must have been the cheap ones.
They were probably the cheap ones.
I can remember almost being thrown out of a class because I refused to cover the book. Because I thought it was the dumbest thing ever. Yeah. I'm not going to wreck your book.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to look at it.
I'm not even going to open it. It's going to smell fresh. There ain't going to be any sense in there for me. There ain't going to be nothing falling out of it because it's never going to be open.
I'm never opening
it. The brown paper shopping bag
they were awesome.
Was the system.
We would spend hours wrapping those books in my house. All the books would be laid out. My mom showed me how to do it.
Yeah.
It'd be perfect.
We'd wrap and tape. Books. Yeah.
They don't even have books now.
No.
You remember when the back-to-school sales happened like a week before school started? Now they start in January.
Starting like.
Yeah, or the schools will, what's the email thing that our kids have? They send you everything you need in the email. You press a button, takes you to Amazon or whatever. You press a button.
That's amazing.
That was until now. There was a company where you basically spent like $40 and everything was sent to your house in a box that the kids would need. We got the email this summer because I was like, oh my God, like I'm going to have to actually individually buy the stupid school supplies. We got an email a few weeks ago from the superintendent that they're supplying the kids with everything this year.
Because there's nothing to supply.
It's about time.
Online, everything's virtual, everything's on devices.
The amount of taxes the Shalik school district pulls in from you people for zero services they provide. They should be buying the kids clothes and rats.
They should. But here's the thing.
I mean, I kind of have to agree with Dave, though. Like, we don't even get trash pickup.
You only have cops.
Yeah, we don't have cops.
We don't have trash pickup. Like, we have nothing.
20 minutes from now, a state trooper might accidentally drive by.
Pretty amazing. I like our teachers.
Your taxes are high to keep other people away.
That could be.
Lots of taxes, no services. Who's going to buy them?
But here's the thing. I'll look, people that can sign me up.
Everyone and their brother, they're all coming down here.
I'll look to Pete to back me up on this one because Pete's an old guy like me. Do you miss books? Like, there's something about a book.
Dude.
Like, Becky's been reading books on her phone.
I'm trying to.
It drives me nuts.
No.
Reading a book on your phone.
I just saw the most books ever.
You did?
Ken Dukes.
Oh, that's right. He's got
books on books.
Actual books. Like, with paper.
Like, his wall of books, it's actually too deep.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I do prefer an actual book to flip the pages, but we live in the middle of nowhere.
Like, yeah, we got to get into that. Ken's place. That's it's insane.
Amazing, huh?
Oh my God.
I like the texture. I write in the margins.
The smell.
There's just something about it that I've always liked.
The musk. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to listen to books now.
I can't.
And I'm doing it, but you try to like multitask, like you're driving, listening to an audiobook,
or
doing something else, but you can't, like when you hear something that's impactful. That you want to, remember to whether it's your business or your life, you want to incorporate, I like to take that note and write it down. I do it on my phone sometimes, but I mean, it's just not the same.
Right.
Actually, the book is awesome.
I like the book.
I like it.
I tried to cheat code some of C.S. Lewis's stuff through listening to it while working. I can't do it. It's not the same as actually reading it.
Right.
I just can't. Yeah. But I can listen to a podcast. But I can't listen to a book.
Matthew Weimer said, how about real maps?
Oh, real maps?
I keep them in every truck we have.
That's old school.
What is it?
You have paper maps.
Maps?
Maps.
Oh, yeah.
And driving.
We have like the books.
Yeah, driving or fishing.
I used to have them.
Driving or fishing. And I still use paper maps both.
So I used to have four maps. These map books, they were red and they were for each state. And that's how I found lakes.
Right.
I had
pre-satellite image.
This is before the internet. Right. I had like New Jersey, I had Pennsylvania, New York, and Delaware.
Yeah.
And you would open up and you'd find the greenest area and you'd find a lake in the middle and try to find that road that led to it.
Yeah.
And that was it, man. Now,
remember globes, Pete?
Do you still globes?
Pete used a sextant.
Pete never had a globe because he's a flat earther.
Can we talk about that later?
We will. That's the after show. Do you still carry paper maps with you in your fishing tournaments or are you totally done with them?
Man, it's, I haven't carried them lately, but I do like to have a map and I just haven't done it in the last couple tournaments, but I tack them up. Like I don't carry them with me in the boat anymore.
Right. But you have it in your room.
I like to have it in the room and the house. So we're eating breakfast and dinner. We can look at the map, see where you practice that day.
Right.
Try to put patterns in. Like when water comes in, like it did on Champlain, you can try to visualize its impact. You can't do that on the sonar screen on your phone, So Jake has not been exposed to maps at all.
Right.
You know, so. Yeah.
Dude, remember sitting Indian style on the floor, like eating a massive bowl of Cocoa Puffs? Yeah. You'd have your notepad, like listing the, you know, that was something about that. Magical, man.
Yeah. I love that. We at our booth at ICAST, this group that they teach teachers how to teach kids how to fish. Like they do a lot of stuff for the Boy Scouts. They have classes for teachers, like for parents that want to teach their Cub Scout group how to fish for bluegills. Yep.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me? Wait till those liberals pervert fishing with their goddamn idea. So these aren't fishermen.
Wait a minute.
These are regular liberal teachers being taught how to fish.
No, my God.
No, the barbs are already gone.
The barbs are gone.
Barbs are gone. The hooks are rounded off.
It's one pound test. Every fish gets broke off.
Oh my God. It's just Velcro. How about the Velcro?
That went way south fast, and I didn't see it coming.
I didn't either.
No, but it's
absolutely
not. That's not what's going on.
No enticing any bedfish with any color other. No white lures getting thrown on the beds.
Zero white lures.
Well, my point is,
everything.
This will be the last reunion show we do for a while, huh? Yeah.
It's all recyclable material. So
the point is, he had a map.
Right.
He had a map, and they were still using maps to identify lakes and creeks and rivers.
The point was maps. I'm sorry.
I was playing off the map dialogue. You know?
That was so awesome. I love that. All right, Brian, let's go to you. I know we've been in touch. I know some big changes going on. I really want to talk about the Bass After Dark. Talk about that a little bit. Great. How's it been going? You a year in now?
No. We started in November.
Start November. Okay.
Yes, we're getting close to
a year. Yeah. How's everything going with the new show?
Good.
Good.
Good. It's been fun, man.
Has been fun, has it?
Yeah, working with him is a lot of fun.
Okay. That's
cool. He's special.
Yeah.
He's pretty awesome.
Are there similarities or are there mainly differences between the Ike Live show or Bash U Live or how would you describe it?
I'd say a lot of differences.
A lot of differences. Yeah. Okay.
Brian doesn't have to produce that.
He's working with the Charles Xavier of bass fishing,
that's
dude.
True.
Like,
that's true.
You know?
I came up with some ideas.
Ken kind of looks like him, too. Minus the wheelchair.
He's Professor X.
Yeah.
He is Professor X.
He's a mobile X.
I actually had a conversation with somebody recently, and I was like, that would be a great topic for you.
Go ahead with it.
You want me to tell you?
Yeah.
So I don't remember who I was talking to. I was at ICAST, and we were talking something about like the timing of getting into professional bass fishing, and that
it's the worst time ever.
Twenty years ago.
The crux of it is more like at what stage of your life, like as an angler, does it make sense? So like you have Trey McKinney, who's like super young and people are like, oh, he should have gone to college. He should have got more experience, that kind of thing. But then the other conversation was there's folks who have had careers, maybe in their 30s, 40s, they've got families and everything, but then they've decided, oh no, wait, I don't want to like midlife crisis almost like, oh, I don't want to like miss out on that dream of mine.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go back.
Well, they're
fishing.
Selfish, but go ahead.
So to me, I'm like, that's the most insane thing ever. Cause fishing is gambling. Why would you do that? So like, I almost was thinking about, I was like, that'd be a great topic for you guys. Like, should you dive into bass fishing as.
I mean, right now everything's trending young.
It is.
And it'd be interesting to see if these young guys are going to be replaced by young guys.
Great schoolers.
5 years or something.
What's Duke's take on it? Because we've been saying
years. He's against restricting technology.
I'm talking about this component of it, like the age thing. Because we've been saying this forever. We've had Ken on the show. He's been our guest host a bunch of times. And it was like, everybody says it's trending young. He's like, the data does not support it. The data says.
Was that this year? Did he?
I'm just saying, has it changed? No. And I haven't talked to him about it in the last year. But I've talked to him recently, like in the previous year, and he's still like, the data doesn't support it. The tournament winners' average age has not gone down. The classics winners' age has not gone down. Has it updated yet? Cause it really seems like it's should, you know, it has made that turn, you know, in the last 12 months.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
I don't know either.
What's Ken say? What say you, Mr. Duke?
What say you?
What? Say. If
I love how I love how Brian's update became into like Ken Duke.
Yeah,
we're
gonna
call Ken.
I know.
He doesn't want the attention, but he deserves it. He's pretty awesome. In his office, which is floor to ceiling, 12-foot ceilings of books and just a path to get around.
Rich mahogany.
Rich mahogany.
Wow.
Leather. There's a shelf that's that long and like 13 binders of every article on every bass, 18 pounds and up.
Dang.
By decades.
Dang.
Yeah. Wow.
Like he's found and printed out and categorized. He's got all the large.
How many of those were snagged by Mike Long off the bed?
Probably a couple.
A couple of
them. But I mean, like he's. Nobody's paying him to do that stuff.
Right.
He can't turn it off.
Brian, did any book shock you? Did you see any book that he had that you were like, I can't believe he read that?
No, there's too many. I just couldn't even look.
He didn't have Hillary Clinton's To Raise a Village?
Did he have...
Is that a book?
Did he have...
Is that a book?
It's a book.
Did he have...
they called it Mein Kampf.
Pam Anderson's Guide to Tantric Sex?
Nah, but... Maybe.
Did you make that up?
I made that up.
You definitely made that up.
I wish he had that book, though. I'd read it.
But, like, while we were there...
But the old Pam Anderson.
An old, like... was it 30s? Issue of Field and Stream showed up that he had been chasing down on...
Oh,
on
like eBay?
From
then?
The 30s?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Just to get the... Because Field and Stream would publish twice a year their contest. They had the big fish contest of the year. They were like 1 month be freshwater, another salt.
Oh, that's cool.
How old's Ken?
62.
Does he have kids?
Nope.
We got to figure out who's going to maintain that library. Yeah. Ken's got to figure that out. He's got to find himself like a Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I can tell you this. There's a general
I like that's what we have to figure out for him.
Well, all that curation.
Well, here's
they're just gonna come in. And go,
here's what I'm telling you.
They're not even gonna like do an estate sale.
We just talked that about stuff how right this to the movement
stop
of the
it.
Sport is to young guys, right?
Yeah.
I won't name anybody, but I could 100% tell you there's a general disinterest in the history of the sport.
There is, but
100%.
But there's there's a kid that came to ICAST and I became friends with him this year. He's from Jersey.
Yeah.
David Park, and his Instagram or and his YouTube, his TikTok is DCAM.
Yeah.
And he just started this stuff a year and a half
with
ago.
With a C or a K?
K. He's really
Jake showed me his stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's really smart and he digs into the analytics and he knows how to work the algorithm, but he also, in addition to making his fishing content with the chesties or whatever, he also is really interested in the editorials and the history and does videos on that. And that's
he's
what caught
my,
he's the anomaly. And I saw that and I saw his interest and I reached out to him, became friends with him and have been talking to him for a while. I actually just met him in person for the first time at ICAST here and we hung out a lot and, you know, he's part of the group now with Eric and everybody.
Yeah.
But I wanted to connect him with Ken and Terry.
Yeah, get him in.
They have that history.
Right.
He can get it out to the kids.
Right. Yeah.
So it's pretty awesome. And he really, Friday after ICAST, him and a couple of his buddies came back to Ken's. Ken's like 30 minutes from Orlando, from where the expo was. They came back and Ken showed them all kinds of stuff.
Nice.
And it was awesome.
Wow. Tell Ken to open the books and get him in the living will. That's our curator for all that knowledge.
Could be. That could be the hand-me-down.
Make a note on that.
Yeah, make a note on that.
But he's going to, that's how it happens. He could take that and get it to the kids in his, on those platforms.
No one can, like the younger generation isn't as enthralled with history as we were. Like growing up loving football, loved seeing like old Earl Campbell and Jim Brown videos of them trucking dudes. Like the newer guys don't care about seeing like first year Tom Brady or any of that stuff. They just don't. It's just a different mindset because they're programmed differently. Yeah. They have so much information available. They don't have any nostalgia. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just being old.
I see it out on the tournament trail. Like we got so many new faces like in the Opens and this year at the Toyotas. It's a changing dynamic. They have no idea of the history. Like, people will come up to you. You won here before? Like, they don't, they have no idea.
People are handing you their keys and their fish rag. Yeah. And they don't even know who you are. They don't even know you're Pete. Oh, yeah.
What's the old guy doing
yeah.
here?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, you're Santa.
You know it's bad. When,
Santa?
Yeah, you know it's bad when young kids are like, Santa? Terrible. You know, it's a different world right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Different faces out there.
It is.
But they're not getting that nostalgia. They're not getting the.
But they're gonna.
Is the Hall of Fame?
But it's not their fault. It's we have to teach them.
Yeah. Where does that lie? Like, where are we missing the mark there? Who's missing the mark?
Everyone.
Well, Bassmaster took the initiative and did that nice series on the history of the sport.
They do a good job.
Yeah. You know, but it's on Fox.
Yeah, but
right?
who's watching that?
That's what I mean.
The people who care, the old people.
I mean,
let's be honest. Right. I'm just trying to be honest. So if you watch Bassmaster, MLF, any of those shows, and you don't know about tournament fishing, you're tuning out 5 minutes in. Like, if you don't know how it works, you don't know the people involved, you're bored and you're out.
Yeah.
So where are the kids going? They're going to YouTube. They're going to someone who's going to entertain them. Bass and MLF have not done anything to, like, draw in a younger demographic, explain it to them, make it fun to them. They haven't. They've done the exact same thing they've always done, and it caters to people who already know exactly what's happening.
So Tim Pool was talking about this very thing, not with Bassmasters, but with CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News. In 10 years, their average viewer will be dead or close to death because of the demographics. I wonder right. what Bass's demographics are and if they have a lifespan similar to the mainstream press or, yeah. or the legacy press.
I wonder. That's a good question.
I would say it's similar. You yeah. know, it's definitely older.
Death spiral.
Yeah. Interesting.
Sad. Let's just get sadder. Ready to talk about.
We'd like to close the show on that. Yeah. Close the show.
Everything must burn.
If you're watching and you bass fish, take up another hobby immediately.
Yeah, start hunting. No,
start smoking weed.
The hunting world don't have this problem. How come in hunting don't have this problem? Why do we have to screw fishing up?
Maybe
well,
they do.
Well, the competitive.
Because there's no competitive hunting.
Right. In shooting sports there is, but in actual hunting, it's not there.
They're not even having these conversations.
Yeah.
They're just out there killing stuff.
But I see the opposite with Jake. Like, Jake, all of a sudden, in the last year, he's all in. Like, right. he's consuming. He was just watching Jay Securit's forward-facing sonar, you know, some social.
Yeah.
He's all into Jay now. And he's like, I want to, you know, fish like him.
It's Jay's smile that drew him in.
Your boy shows up on my Insta. Like, you know how on Instagram it'll be like suggestions to follow?
Yeah.
Dude, your dude is there. Like, anytime I get,
well,
like,
just follow him and he'll stop showing up.
It's Pete's kid, dude.
Dave can't
support the man.
No, Dave can't follow him. If Dave follows him, then the virus will be transmitted to Jake's site.
Oh, yeah. Then Jake's going to be getting, like, truther
right.
stuff on his stuff, dude.
Don't follow.
Well, Instagram still bans everybody, so they ain't to worry about that there. He's got to come over to Telegram, and I'll tell him what to
Dave
watch.
If you see Dave follow Jake, unfollow. Right? Immediately.
Block.
Immediately.
On Telegram. I'll teach him up.
That's awesome. All right, Brian, what else is going on? Shoulder surgery, right, was a couple, three.
February.
Pain med addiction.
That was February.
Dude, they gave me like 10 days.
10 days.
So, yeah, I'm still dealing it, and this was in February. Yeah, okay, 10
well,
days.
Well, how's the recovery going? How's that recovery?
Really good.
Okay.
Like the last month and a half, things have gotten a lot better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Mobility's good luck.
Whoa, look at
I
that.
Did that.
He lifted his arm up.
I lifted, I lifted my arm.
And you went palm down.
Then,
that's hard.
And then he rubbed it.
Ah, shit, that hurt.
My bursitis.
Yeah. But something's wrong with that now.
The leg?
My knee.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully by the time we get to Pete, we're not talking about dentures for crying out loud. Like, no young people are going to watch your show ever, dude.
I know.
Yeah. I got this sense of dying on my teeth. And,
you know,
they're itching.
So at ICAST.
I got sense of dying.
Eric and his boys were there.
Killing
yeah.
me.
And then I just, you know, hung around them a bit, you know, at the show and just saw their group.
Yeah.
And how much it's growing and the other.
Uncle Larry's crew.
Yeah. The Uncle Larry's crew and the other, you know, players involved and hood fishing. And
yeah.
It was a lot of encouraging stuff there.
That
there was. Maybe not
Yeah.
Maybe not like directly tournament fishing, but
right.
It was fishing, and it was, in my opinion, it was for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Well, there was some, you know, influencer type fishermen that I didn't feel like were in it for the right reasons.
Right.
Maybe started a lure company and took over. But like, I feel like these kids are, just a lot of good positive energy. Good energy. A lot of good energy. Good kids.
Yeah. Well, Beck, would you agree with this statement? What Brian was just talking about, you know, using hood fishing and Eric's guy, you know, using it as an example.
Hood.
You don't have to tournament fish.
Right.
To have an impact and grow the sport. Right.
Right.
You do not have to. Right.
Fishing is bigger than tournament fishing.
It's bigger than that.
And so, tournament people forget that.
Yes.
Right. I think a lot of guys assume that you have to be a Bass Pro Tour or an elite guy to have an impact on the sport. Dude, that's so far from the truth.
Oh yeah.
You don't have to. And I think that number's smaller than the big pie of people that fish.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Way smaller.
Yeah.
Way smaller.
Yeah. Jake's always bringing these guys to me. Like, Dad, look what this guy's, you know, teaching.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jake, unfollow that man.
You discredit
him. The teaching part
does aggravate me too.
It's like you are going to spend you. I am going to have to unteach everything that you're being taught.
Right. Right. From a teaching competitive standpoint, maybe that's true. But, you know, what about just getting, you know, a 13, 14, 15-year-old
get them excited about
just
it.
Just get them excited about grabbing a rod.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's going on.
The Uncle Larry's guys, the biggest thing there is that, like, it's exciting. It's fun. Like, go out fishing. Like, they just make it fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. That kid Kai's entertaining. My son likes him.
Like, they're 40 years old, and Vegas thinks that they're his age.
They're 40?
No, I'm just kidding.
Dang. Shit. They're not out?
What happened? So, Pete, you're always like bah humbug in Jake's follows?
Not always, but
I get it, Pete.
I get guys that are like, I can't believe these guys are putting this out, like, as an authority.
You're like James Earl Jones in the Sandlot. Like Jake comes into your study and you're just like, bah.
Yeah. The best story is Jake came in one night. Pete was like on the couch watching the Eagles or whatever.
The Eagles.
Jake's like, look at this dude. He's like teaching all this great stuff. Pete grabs, snatches the fucking phone out of Jake's hand, hits unfollow, never yells right in Jake's face, never go to that site again. And it was Dave LaFever. So it's a really good story.
Nobody would.
He was up ranting pro Trump. Dave, you should be hanging out with Dave.
I'll hang out with him. I'll have a beer with him.
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
Who the hell isn't pro Trump now? Where were you people in 2016? Look at me with their Trump shit now. People are giving me the middle finger, flying my flag on my truck. Where was that at? Where was that now? Everyone's Trump.
Get out of here.
Too late.
Do we need a potty break?
I see a couple guys take a potty break. I did want to. I wanted to take a break, but Pete, let me go to you, and I want to get a catch up with you, and then we'll take a potty break. How's everything? I get to catch up with you all the time, so fishing with Jake is great. Obviously, I love that. Yeah. I love it. I see it. I think it's great. But
it's killing.
Bass University, catch us up. How's all that stuff going?
Can you believe it happened with Jake?
Dude, it's amazing.
Like,
because I remember how many years ago. I remember you really trying to get him to like it.
I slow played it so bad. I'm like, we'd go out and the fish on the Chesapeake would be like blowing up on frogs or something so awesome for us.
Yeah.
And he would be like, can we go tubing now? You know, can we beach the boat and go hike? Yeah. Or can we jump boat waves? That was his favorite.
How old is he at this point with the jumping?
Really until last year.
Wow.
You know, like the boat would be in the driveway. You know, I'd have a rare weekend and I'd be like, man, you know, we could go do this. We could go to Delaware. Yeah. Maybe we could travel and go to Champlain for a couple days, you know, and
he don't even know he's with like the Bill Belichick of the Upper Chesapeake. He wants to go jump waves with the
dude. I mean, we are jumping. Let's drive to the ocean. Can we drive to the ocean, Dad? You know,
that's something.
And launch at Gloucester City and make it all the way to Cape May.
Yep. Yeah. But it was awesome. I love, you know, I just like spending time with them, and we're outdoors and we're doing that stuff, and
what
we would fish
moment,
a little bit.
Though? Like, can
your
you
tournament?
You can pinpoint.
I can pinpoint it to your tournament, the Union Lake tournament.
Wow.
Just recently where he got
last
that mask?
Summer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Last summer at the Ike Foundation tournament where, I always ask him, do you want to fish?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Brendan's coming over, you know, it's always, you know.
Fortnite.
And he's like, nothing going on. Fortnite is back. Oh, yeah, God, I want to kill myself.
Minecraft's back, too. The high schoolers are doing it.
Oh, they updated Fortnite and all. They're all back now, you know.
Yeah.
But so anyways, last summer at Ike, and I'm like, Union Lake, you know, you want to go check it out? We'll go fish it. And we went there, and, you know, we're fishing the offshore gravel, shell bed, whatever's out there. And, you know, right away he catches a
4-pound smallie.
He catches a big smallmouth. I think I can't remember now.
I think it was a 4.
Yeah.
He did catch a 4.6.
Yeah. Did you have him, Bry?
He caught it. He caught it. He caught like a 2.5.
Pete won't let him fish with anyone else.
And then he got a 4.6. And then he slept the rest of the tournament.
Dang.
You know, but then.
But that was a spark.
Accolade when he got
the
accolade.
You know, Dave Haas weighing the fish in. He's like, oh, look at the size of this fish. And, you know, he got excited about it. People are congratulating him. He won the tournament.
Yeah.
He got the cool trophy.
Yeah.
That's still, you know, up in his room. And when he got home from that, he fished every day for 2 weeks.
Wow. Dang.
And then he went back to video games a little bit, but never really like it was before.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
It was always, you know, and then it was, hey, Jake, you know, I want to go out on the river. The tide's, you know, tide looks good. You know, we got a morning low tide, you know. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, I'm in. 4 o'clock in the morning, 15 minutes, he's ready to go.
Wow.
You got him amped to go on the Delaware River?
Yeah.
Wow.
He loves
it. I went and looked at a job in your neighborhood. And as I'm there, I was just getting ready to leave. It was kitchen remodel. And I guess I had my hat on backwards like this. And I hear this kid come in. He's like, or I hear somebody come in. He's like, is that a Bass U hat? Turn around. It's there like, I don't know, how old is Jake?
He'll be 15.
So his kid was like 14, 15, something like that. I was like, oh, yeah. He's like, yeah, my buddy Jake's dad, that's his. I'm like, oh, shit. So he's got a whole posse of.
He created a little mob.
Yeah.
Mob. I hope he's not listening, but I strategically, I'm doing that. Like I'm wanting him to, like, I take his buddies out all the time and we'll go out on the Delaware. I'll teach them how to fish, you know, get them right on the juice at low tide and they'll catch one or two or three. We were out on, we named this, weed corner.
One of my
on
spots.
The Chesapeake, Jake's Corner. We had me, Jake, and two of his buddies. We caught 54. They caught. I didn't catch. They caught 54 bass in one day on this corner.
Dang.
And one of them was Tanner. And now Tanner is he's fishing this week at the Nationals. And
wow,
you know they're kind of building. They're building this crew. Jake started a fishing club at his high school. And it got approved,
in 1 year.
In 1 year. It got through all the red tape, but he can't start having meetings till the fall.
Wow.
So he's going to have a high school fishing club. He's already got 15 kids just in his freshman class that signed up. The sophomores, juniors, and seniors don't even know about it yet.
Who's going to be the coach? You?
No, they have to have a teacher coach, but I'll be an advisor. You know,
teaching the teacher.
Yeah, I'll teach the teacher.
Yeah.
And
oh my God.
So
just real quick,
we're excited
to touch
about
base
that.
On what Brian just said, right?
Chef, it's everybody.
Funny. Yeah.
He always gets an applause.
He's like Raul on Sanford and Son. Every time he's in a room, like, oh, you crazy fool, and I'll be like still clapping in the audience.
So it's just before Thanksgiving, right? I got one of your Bass U sweatshirts on. I go in, do my thing. I come out, and the lady stops me. I'm like, she's like, yeah, your sweatshirt.
My son is the only one I ever seen wear that before. I said, oh, what's his name? I think his name was Glenn. I could be wrong. I may be wrong. But the lady recognized me inside the TD Bank.
Nice.
With the sweatshirt on.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, yeah, Bass, you. I'm like, yeah. Do you know Pete? I was like, yeah, maybe you know Pete. I don't know. Maybe some of you know. I don't know. The
beautiful.
Lady was like, yeah, my son. He has one, too. I'm like, oh, yeah, nice, whatever.
Chef and the lady out. At TD Bank?
Yeah.
Two blocks later, the lady beeps at me. Like, hey!
She's stalking.
Bass, you.
That's fun. Awesome.
Chef, you crazy fool.
Hand out the window. I had a cigarette probably. I was smoking. But she beeped at me. Hey, Bass, you.
It's yeah. Awesome. Hey, that very recognizable that, brand. Yeah. Pete.
It don't, yeah.
That's a beautiful testimony.
It's a, yeah. It's yeah. A chef. Thank you, yeah. Chef.
You know, we've been building this brand for 15 years, man.
Yeah, long time.
It's over 15 years, yep. And it's taken a life of its own. Like the just the shield with the Bass
yeah.
will stand alone. Like people recognize
oh,
it.
Oh yeah.
And like down at ICAST, I mean, it's just it's constant. Every time you're at the boat launch, like people are coming up and thanking you for helping their fishing.
Yeah.
You know, they're watching it, they're using it.
Yeah.
And it's
Victory Hooks. Thank you for the logo.
That's cool. Well, I've had those experiences like Chef has had with a Bass U something on, you know, but yep. it's wrong. I'll be at a gas station pumping, and it'll be like, hey, pumping. Bass University.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, yeah. I want to join. I play bass too. Boom, boom.
Oh shoot.
I'm like, no, no.
Yeah,
I guess we're running. Want to explain it?
Maybe
anymore.
We should combine. Maybe we should start that.
You think like, bass and bass?
Bass and bass.
Well, a lot of people don't play bass out there. So,
but your son has started his own little posse. Tell him the story about the phone call you had the other night when Vegas
remember.
Was out on the water.
Oh, so he has. So same story.
Mm-hmm.
Neighborhood kids that were into other stuff, whether it was video games or another
graffiti.
Sport. Graffiti, not graffiti, but you know.
Well, let's be honest though. These kids are all looking for independence, but we have a weird world we live in right now. So like as conscientious parents, like what do you let your kids do?
Helicopter.
Like, we're not dropping them off at the mall. We're not, you know what I mean? Like, so what are they going to do? So Vegas and a lot of his friends have all been like, let's meet out at the lake. And they like a couple of them have John boats. They all meet out there. They fish, they dive in the water, like whatever. They act like,
yeah. Boys.
It
boys.
Is cool. It's that's a good cool. release.
Boys, yeah. But it's like safe. So all of us are kind of like, just go. Just go. So Mike gets call.
Yeah, Vegas so I get a call. Vegas is out there. I get a call from Vegas. You know, it's getting dark. You know, like.
Lost one of the girls.
Yeah, what the hell's going on? And Vegas is like, oh, we're coming in. You know, we've caught a few. It's been a good bite. And I hear his buddy Connor in the back. And I can hear it. Like, it's like he's right next to him. You know, it's a crawl dad. So the boat's this big, you know. And he's like. Oh, I'm snagged. And as I'm on the phone, there's like a pause and Vegas goes, real, 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 you got one. And hangs the phone up. And I'm like, what the hell's going on here?
And you want to go see it.
I wait like 10 minutes and Vegas calls me back. And the kid who like literally just started bass fishing.
Yeah.
Whose PB was like a 2-pounder, catches a 5.5-pounder.
Wow.
And
oh,
it's
wow,
giant.
Yeah.
And dude, he that's comes so cool. back and won't stop talking about fishing. His dad picks him up. He's making his dad talk to me about fishing.
Yeah.
Like it's just
broke the bank at Dick's.
It's like that moment, right? It's like that moment.
Yeah.
It's that fish.
Yeah,
or,
that's awesome.
Or that Ike Foundation tournament.
Not my PT doctor or whatever, but the guy who runs the place. His brother like lives on the lake.
Okay.
Yeah. And they come out and fish, and his kids are ate up with it.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I walk in there just wanting to do my stuff, he comes over and talks to me about fishing.
Talks about fishing. Yeah, that's great.
But it's cool, man. I'm like, you cool. got to bring him out to the Ike Foundation event, you know?
Yeah.
That's a
He'll
great
get put
event.
In a boat. Oh, yeah.
My best advice, and I mean, it worked. I guess I got lucky. I don't know. But, you know, it was not like not put the kids in jail and take them out for 8 to 10 hours. When they're 6 or 10, 8 or 10 years old, and you know, Dad, I just want to go home. And it's unfortunate because the dad is, he works all week. He can't wait to go bass fishing. He's been dying for this.
Yeah.
And he's got a day on the lake and he don't, you know, he just wants to go out. But the kid, the, you know, after, depending on his maturity level and his interest, he might only be good for an hour or two.
Right.
You yeah. know,
and make it fun. And keep it short.
Make it
as long
fun.
As they want to stay out.
Let them jump boat wakes. Let them go swimming. Yep. Let them, you know, do whatever they do.
It yeah. could be tough. Especially when dad wants to fish.
When dad wants to fish, it's,
and he's
it's
a young dad,
so
and he's
tough.
Yeah.
Because I've been there. I'm like, dude, we've been on vacation, Thousand Islands. We're on vacation the last 3 years. We've been going there. It's the greatest smallmouth fishery on the planet, yeah. and I'm tubing all day. I'm chasing the ships up the river so I can jump those 6 foot boat wakes with the kids, you know. And we're until, swimming
until Vegas comes and crashes your vacation.
Yeah. That was
and then they
awesome.
All go fishing.
They right. that was the fishing week. That was the first time, which was last summer.
They fished
that
more
they,
than two.
They that's all they wanted to do.
Wow.
They, yes. they it took 3 seasons, but I don't think it was anything that I did in particular, other than I didn't torture him with it.
Yeah.
I just it's just the maturity level. Like right. like you got to be able to endure the time or be interested in the time when you're not getting bites and have fun with that. You know, trying to figure out the puzzle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah. you can't do that at eight. At eight,
right.
you just want something pulling back
it's
every
tough.
5 seconds.
Yeah. It's tough.
You know?
Yeah. When Vegas was eight, I can remember noon, 11:30, noon. It was he was done.
Yeah.
You know? And now it's cool to watch him go the whole day.
Which
intense,
is impressive yeah. though, because you know? we launch at 6 with those bass events.
Yeah.
So he would make it 6 hours and then at 8, 9.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. But eight.
Yeah.
Noon.
Yeah.
Done.
Yep. There's a stat they drop at ICAST. The ASA drops. Ken drops. Of course, I don't know it, but it's something along the lines of like 85% of the people fishing started before they were 12 or something like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's a big stat yeah. that they keep throwing around. And your tagline, catch them early, yeah. is such a great
Hook
thing.
Them early. Hook them early.
That's a good
Hook
one.
Them early. Yeah. But it's, you know, that, but the key is, you know, like you guys do with your event, you know, it's like 2 hours.
Yep.
You know, you go out, you expose them, you have fun, and then you let them go do whatever they want to do.
Make it fun.
Like, yeah. Jake, but Jake, like I said, Jake, when he fished that tournament at Union, it was almost like, oh yeah, I caught, I got two big ones. I'm going to sleep now. And he just slept, you know, awesome. And I'm like, Jake, at least throw your bait out. Just,
yeah, drag,
just
a drag
it while,
right
you know, while you're sleeping, you know, yeah. But now he's, you know, now he's engaged. So it's been, it's been fun. You know, we're super excited. Talked to the BASS tournament director. We're going down to Chickamauga for the high school, nationals next week. We leave Saturday and, oh man, I had the boys out. Yesterday on the Chesapeake, Max and Jake, our research is saying that we might be punching, cause it's matted vegetation. So we rigged up some 1 ounce weights. Max was awesome. He was like, what? I had like all my weights, like up to 2.5 ounces.
Yeah.
He's like, 2.5 ounces.
Yeah.
He's like freaking out. Are we going to have to use that? Like they're super excited to use some
cannonball
unique,
dude.
You know, and different.
Yeah.
And, I got them both rigged up with 1 ounce weights and they were punching and it's not that good on the Chesapeake. Like the bass don't, it doesn't work that well, that technique
right.
there.
Right.
They, for whatever reason, they're outside the grass there, especially this time of year, but he did turn like a bowfin or a snakehead. Max did. So he got to feel a bite, set the hook in a big, thick cheese mat. You know what I mean?
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm preparing them for, you know, what it's going to be like because we're probably going to be fishing grass. And, you know, so we went out and did a little practice and shout out to Max and Jeremy. His dad is tireless. You know, he'll, you know, he came down with us.
I'll make a prediction about that tournament. It'll be one on LiveScope.
It'll be one on, you think so? All right.
Every tournament.
Yeah, right.
Name one, it is it.
But Pete, do you feel like Dave Haas might have like a voodoo doll? Like that he pokes at?
He might.
That has your face on
he
it?
He might.
Haas?
We won by, we won, they won. Jake and Max won by 100th of a pound.
Wow.
Over Jake Haas's.
That's the weight of a Boogaloo
game. So, it was literally the craziest youth weigh-in I've ever seen. Yep. And it was for nationals.
So that's the last drop one on the scale, right? The 100th's the last one, 10th's the first one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Who weighed in first?
8 point, Dave did. They had 8.51. Jake and Max had 8.52.
It was hard to be a spectator when you're, like, invested in both those teams.
Yeah.
It hurt.
Yeah, Haas is a veteran. He should have known to have his kids weigh in after.
Haas had a good comeback, though. He weighed in 20 pounds at Manasquan.
Oh, yeah.
Really good. So that was a nice comeback.
And Vegas had 21 pounds at Manasquan.
You hear that?
Unbelievable.
I've never had 21 pounds.
We were talking about it, like, because Jake and Max caught 20 pounds earlier in the year. Like, how many times does 20 pounds get caught in New Jersey waters?
Squan is still fishing like
times.
That?
Yeah.
Three times this year.
Three times. Twice in one day on Manasquan. It's like nuts.
Those kids are amazing.
Yeah, but these kids are definitely doing stuff that, you know, is above where they should be for their age. Yeah. You know, whether it's shallow or deep or whatever, you know, they're doing stuff that we didn't do at 13 and 14. Yeah. Dude, for crying out loud, we were fishing a fucking culprit worm. You know, whatever. We had two things we did.
Well, they've got good teachers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, my God.
We got dropped off by our moms, our single moms.
Yeah. And, the information exchange wasn't there. Like, we were reading magazines that were the story was written a year ago, waiting to be published.
Right.
And you were reading that and trying to go out and duplicate it. Dude, these guys are doing it real time.
Dude, they've got the phone. They got shows, they got internet, they've got magazines, they got
YouTube,
Bash You, all this.
Come home to a square meal. We came home to ramen noodles, Tang, and Lay's potato chips.
Yeah, and our information was Don Sky for crying out.
Right,
yeah.
Nutrition's better.
That information? You know, we had
Don
Scott.
Was great information.
It was actually good.
That was very good.
Yeah. Don Sky.
Shout out to Don Skaluski.
Is he still alive?
Last time I South Carolina, right? Wasn't
I believe so.
I think so.
Well, good job with that too, Don.
Yeah. Beck, let's take a break. We'll take a little pee break and then come back and we'll do a quick.
What do you got? Some stuff coming through?
See, even Becky.
No, I'll do
Becky's
it.
A just... bad producer, too, Brian.
Yeah.
Two.
I don't
know what
I'm doing. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah, it looks great.
We don't really have commercial breaks anymore, but we can make this work.
Well, we can have Chef will tell a story.
Kenny Huffman wanted him to sing.
Oh,
yes! Apparently, Chef has a beautiful voice.
Wow! Yeah. All right, so
I hope that wasn't it.
Do you have something that we can put up for a little break?
I got you. I got you.
All right, listen, hang in there. We're gonna take a short little break. Like literally, what's it like? A minute or two? What is it?
It's 3 minutes.
All right, we'll take a little break. We're gonna take a leak. We come back, ICAST recap, and then we can get into the whole Trump thing after that.
Let's talk about UFOs and Sasquatch.
Yeah, well, I'll talk about that too.
Oh, the flat earthers.
Flat earthers.
Man,
the
policy
has always been
is
no
this real, you guys?
And no religion.
Well, but look at
we don't talk about boring, stupid ass fish the whole time.
Listen, hang in there. Mm. Hang in there. Three minutes.
You're not
we'll
live,
be right back. All right.
Do you fish for excitement? Do you fish for passion? Do you fish to get outside? Yeah! Or do you fish to win?
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
Abu Garcia for life.
You know, right now where we're standing, we're in Camden, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Philadelphia is right there. This is the concrete jungle. And, you know, a lot of those kids, as they grow up, they don't fish. It's interesting because they're surrounded by water. You know, the Delaware River, the Schuylkill, ponds, city park lakes. But they don't have the influence to cast, to fish, to have a rod and reel. And that really, that became our focus, you know, is to target kids in what we call non-traditional areas, you know, urban areas, city centers,
where the population's high, and let these kids have the experience. You know, it's amazing. I mean, some of the experiences we've had, whether it's Central Park in New York City, here in Camden, other parts of the country, even just casting.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable to see it, isn't it?
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
Yes.
And you know, you see these kids have this experience they've never had, and they light up, you know? The big thing, I think, for the Ike Foundation is we're not saying we want all these kids to become professional anglers.
No.
It'd be great if some of them did, but we want them to have that fishing experience because it ties them to so many other positive things. The outdoors, nature, conservation. Ecology, you know, all these amazing things in life that maybe they wouldn't have been exposed to any other way. We're trying to help with that. So it's important. It's important for us. Yeah. We're proud of it.
I subscribe to Bass U TV, and so should you.
Great place to learn about anything you want to know about bass fishing.
You get it at Bass U. We got the best of the best.
I'm not just an instructor, I'm a subscriber.
I'm John Cruz, and I am a subscriber.
You can always learn, and watching Bass U is definitely helps with that. It's something that I like to do, and it's definitely something that you need to do.
If I'm still learning, you should be too.
Subscribe to Bass U, because you'll learn how to catch a lot more fish.
Ike Live, brought to you exclusively by Abu Garcia.
Uncle Chef.
He has an uncle heir to him.
You're up.
And we're live. We're back.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Thanks for hanging out. We are back with a new Ike Live show. Of course, this is the reunion special. It's nice to have the old crew back together.
Reunion.
It's like old times. I want to remind everybody, if you're watching, I noticed a
use
lot
the code
of...
Ike Live on everything. On everything.
Use the promo code Ike Live. That's true.
You get $10 Ike off Live, a Ford 10, pickup truck.
15, 20.
Yeah. Dude, that whole code thing was always a pain in the ass.
No one can ever remember it.
And here's the other thing, and I'll be honest with you. It's why
Did you say you don't remember it?
No.
It's because you don't have to
really
do any of the work.
Steer away from it in the business. I don't know if Pete agrees with this or not. But
oh, here we go.
Like with Becky and I, we always steer away from companies that come in and say, you know, I use a code, you know, or whatever. Because, you know, the reality, I think the reality over the years with this show is hardcore fans that understood the dynamics of a sponsorship and stuff, right? They would use the code. But we would get a lot of people watching, whether they, you know, whatever. And they would see Mystery Tackle Box or Dr. Squatch, right? They'd be like, oh, shit.
It works with certain things,
right?
When it's a $7 item that you can also pick up at Walmart,
right?
That code,
but that's my point, right?
Is crap.
We would sell them, and we would make them aware of this amazing thing.
Yeah, and they'll get it at Walmart for $7. But
they'd go to Amazon 99% of the time. They'd go to freaking Amazon and get it, right?
Yeah.
So I am not a big believer in the whole code thing. You know,
we struggled with that. Remember
the code
back in the day before. We preceded the internet. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Like we get sponsorships and they would want to track sales somehow.
Right.
And we could never do it. Like, like we're doing all these articles. We're on, you know, TV when we get TV appearances.
Yeah.
There's no, and they would use that. They would leverage that against you to cut your contract.
Oh yeah.
Every time.
Bullshit. Absolute bullshit. Yeah. But anyway, if you have a question or a comment, please chime in. Dude, I'm going to change topic, but this just came up because I was talking to somebody about an ICAST, and then he reached out to me, which is the fact that – and I'll throw it at you, start with you, Dave. Is bass fishing today, from a business standpoint, better or worse than it was 10 years ago?
How's he going to know?
Yeah, you're asking.
He's a fan of the sport.
All right, so – hold on, Brian. So would you say the average fan, I know more about it or less? The average fisherman, do I know more about bass fishing or less than the average guy?
More, way more.
So let me speak for the average man. I'm not on Bass After Dark.
No, you're not following bass fishing for the last 5 years.
So I think, I think fishing has gotten gross.
There's that sweatshirt. Hey!
There he
is.
More applause.
Are you trying to bang that old broad that was looking at you? What are you doing?
We're going to watch. You think he ate?
Yeah.
Chef, you have to model.
Oh yeah, you got to get in front of the camera
so we can do a quick
do a
modeling.
Dance.
Show them the watch
in case she's watching.
That is the actual sweatshirt we were talking about earlier on the show.
Put that watch out there.
Show the bling, Raul.
He said the lady at the bank liked him.
All right, so Dave.